met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, 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 it's time. We all come together. Ha-ha! Barack Obama!
Yes, we can be.
Barack Obama!
We are together.
Barack Obama!
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Galactic Roundtable. I have Tara and Rama here. And today, Lord Rama will be channeling Mother Sekhmet, and I will be channeling Archangel Michael. And we would like it if you would call in and ask questions. So please call us later at 415-762-1161. 415-762-1161. We're also going to have a teaching about the Moabite Nation. And then later on, we're going to listen to some of Capitalism, A Love Story. This is related to the project which Ashtar asked us all to participate in. And many of us have never heard this, and so we'd like to share some of it today. Michael Moore is fantastic. I own Fahrenheit 9/11, and I hope all of you have seen Sicko. But this should be a very fun day today. So thank you for being here with us. So we'll have some hard news to begin. Greetings.
Oh, what a story. Where to begin with this story? I wish I had a backdrop like Rachel Beddoes on that meadow, you know, talking about Switzerland where, you know, the flowers are, yet at the same time what is going on out there isn't so pretty. It's quite a wild, wonderful world we're living in, watching what's going on. And on NPR this morning, what I heard was that they are very close to fixing the leak in the oil spill. In fact, what they reported on NPR, and I haven't really talked to anybody except these crazy folks from Radiolab, and that's a whole nother piece of work. What I heard on NPR is they're really close to fixing the leak, yet these two robots crashed into each other a mile underneath the water, and now it's going to take 9 hours for the robots to be fixed, or the droids, and then they will be back on track. And I don't know where to go with that yet. That's what I heard on NPR. And after that, I heard this show called Radiolab, where they had on this story about this journalist. He's a freelance journalist. And before that, he was a economic jackal, you could say, and N-blank-A, C-blank-A analyst that was a negotiator, mediator, worked with the military, biomedical, industrial complex. And he was in Afghanistan, northern Afghanistan, I guess somewhere near the villages where Buddha was born. And he was there in the days following 9/11, and he had heard what happened, and he talked about what occurred there in the sense that Afghanistan never did this. This was all done by the folks over here, and what he experienced as the days and the weeks went on is he experienced the fact that there was a miscommunication going on between the people of this country and the leaders, or so-called elected leaders, and he talked about the miscommunication of when that ticker tape started showing up on all the major channels right after 9/11, which was filling us with spin 24/7. And this guy heard the stories about the stargates and the magical things that happened in Afghanistan. And he was supposed to have a meeting with Daniel Pearl and this man, Sheikh Jalani, who was supposed to talk about the stargates and the djinn on Dan Rather's 60 Minutes before Dan Rather was yanked off the air because he said the truth about 9/11 and Bush Sr.
That's right.
That's right.
And this man, let's call him Charlie, because that's what he said his name was on the air, and Charlie Lee, and I don't know if, you know, his story other than what I heard today, yet right after 9/11, he quit, and he gave up his military commission and gave just burned his bridges tied in with the military biomedical industrial complex and became a freelance journalist, never staying in one place more than a week at a time. And to this day, he's been sort of on the run telling his stories, like that guy that was on Jon Stewart. It was, and he was on Bill Maher this weekend. And he wrote a book called War, and he was a journalist, and he sat with the, different folks out there who were the different special forces or special assignments or whatever the term is that they go and do out there, where they use their technology that is right out of, you know, the games called Quake and Doom and the other stuff that's on the screen, Mortal Kombat, where, like you watched in the WikiLeaks, what is occurring over there, and it's hard for me to talk about it without wanting to cry.
Mm-hmm. I understand completely. It's ugly.
It is. And what he talked about is, as he started to wake up and wise up to the uprising that is going on, with the understanding the people of Afghanistan never did this. It was all Wall Street, C Street, K Street, the lobbyists, the Congress, the millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires over here, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Chase, Bank of America. I could go on.
We've heard those names. They're slightly familiar.
Lehman Brothers, Bears and Stearns, Fannie and Freddie. They walked into the banks and turned the banks into the casinos. Blackwater, Eric Prince. And what has occurred is...
And 9.5 weeks and another 9.5 weeks.
I have a friend here in Santa Fe who, he could have been a military contractor, and he was offered $200,000 an hour to go to Iraq and just drive a water truck. And he said, when he was offered this by a certain company, what he said is, I am going to turn around and turn you all into Greg Palast. And he did. Greg Palast is to this day still investigating this group. And it has to do with all the contracts that are being done right now behind the scenes, where the military is privatized, the Pentagon is privatized. It's not we the people. It's owned by the military-industrial biomedical complex, tied in with the 13 families. And like Dr. Greer has said, and all the other messages that go on forever, all these stories are over. The only card they have is the fear card. They are so afraid of Mother, and all Mother wants to give is a hug.
That's right.
Oh, my God. And it's at that place. What this guy talked about today is he just looked into the simple eyes of a child. Where he brought an iPod to a village. These kids sat around with this iPod for 4 hours just listening to they listen to Michael Franti, and they listen to Green Day, and they listen to Judy Collins and Joan Baez and Joni Mitchell and the Beatles. These kids never heard this ever before. And this guy, Charlie, what he said is, I feel like I kind of violated a bit of the prime directive, if you will, where I brought in some technologies to a civilization that had never heard of this, never seen it to this day. And he said, I have to understand the morality of what I did from this day forth.
Who was talking about this?
This guy, Charlie.
Oh, okay.
What he did was he brought Mother to these children because that music brings in the spirit through hearing of Mother. And this is going to happen to all the rural children in these rural places. When our brothers and sisters come in with the technology, they're going to have schools, they're going to have monitors, they're going to have computers, and they're going to connect with each other throughout the world with the true teachings about astrology and the things they don't learn in school right now. And they're going to have music they've never had before. And what he did that day was he brought them Mother.
Lady Master Beth, that is exactly what we did at the World Symposium on Humanity. We already did it.
I'm not surprised.
And in 300 places on the planet, millions and millions of children and families came, and the whole place, wherever they did it, it was set up so that they did all of it.
The children around the world have been missing, because they've been herded into rooms to be taught lies so that they would go along with the programming. And that's why you were doing that back then, because you already knew that back then. And that this is the vision we've been holding since then, and it's happening now.
And I want to tell you, everybody, that no matter how many money games we ever did, think back. We always thought, how can I be free and do this too? And this is what the World Symposium gave ideas of. And 500,000 NGOs came from that week in all those millions of people's lives across the planet. 500,000 of us in every country on earth helping to do Martin Luther King, Gandhi's mission in all of us. And Quetzalcoatl is us. That is the emerald green feathered serpent fire. This is a whole kind of higher use of our kundalini. I mean, yes, in India, kundalini was described in the sacred acts of Tantra. These things were not done for lower bump and grind at all.
No.
These things were to bring higher creation energies and creations in the lovemaking in the fifth dimension to be brought into the third dimension as they could raise their consciousness. It could come at a fifth dimensional adjustment to the degradation of the third dimensional DNA. Is made that way.
Sarah, this ties in with what you were saying yesterday. You said some lady had said that, you know, a woman's erogenous zone is the ears, and I didn't connect with that message at all. And, but then I thought about it again, because I thought it's an important point. And what I understand is, I mean, at least for me, the erogenous zone is hearing. So, you know, like certain music puts you in a certain mood. And, you know, for men, it's sight. You know, they like to see what they see. So that's what I got from what you were saying yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
It's the hearing, because the hearing can put you in a place that takes you out to 5D and beyond.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, there's a difference between listening and really hearing. And that is why the woman's G-spot, and this was Mrs. Allende that said that. She was, her uncle was assassinated in the first 9/11, Salvador Allende.
Yes.
And in her book, she was talking about her personal experience of how we can get through this. Where one is harmed, all is harmed. That was the experimental 9/11. They actually tried it in Chile because Chile was far advanced at that time, as a matter of fact, in democratic principle and living by it.
Mm-hmm.
Far advanced. And they thought they could knock it down and let's try it. Let's knock this people down a peg or two.
Mm-hmm.
And loving is always quote unquote unnecessary when you want to do war for profit.
There's a really cool movie that describes this. It's called The House of Spirits.
Oh, that movie is intense.
Yeah.
That movie, oh gosh. This is why we're doing matriarchal society, everybody. You don't end war by declaring it, you end war by being it.
By being peace. You have to be peace. And it starts in your heart, and it starts in your home.
Yeah, and the piece I didn't finish with this guy Charlie is that he told the story on the radio lab of this white dust or this fungus that has hit the poppies in Afghanistan. The poppy season is coming to a conclusion now. And a lot of farmers are losing, like, millions of dollars of poppies, yet this fungus has destroyed a lot of the poppies. Therefore, no heroin. Therefore, no money for the black ops.
Well, which, that part is a good thing.
That's a good thing. And this could very well be the midichlorians or the force destroying it. And at the same time, what?
They took a frown and they turned it upside down. Let me explain. Because the black ops did it.
Yeah.
And then they thought they could do something else and keep going. And they wanted to put the GMO poppy in there. And you don't want to know what that was going to do to that poppy. And you don't want to know what they put in there.
Mm-hmm.
This is
Maybe the flowers took themselves out because they don't want to be used that way anymore.
That could very well be.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, too, because those Russian scientists said there is still something that we are missing in that story because these two scientists proved that the consciousness of world peace in all endeavors of all souls in any part on her body literally come together over a designated site where it started.
That's
which
right.
Is over England.
Yeah.
In Glastonbury. And we create the crop circles and make them.
Avalon.
We do in our Merkaba vehicles. And he proved it.
Yeah.
This was done back in 2006. And I'm telling you, that's what happened. There isn't anything else that's happening ever because we still are the Creator Sons. I'll just say that our brothers and sisters in the ships, they have been waiting small time for us and helping us to wake up. Now that we are getting it and waking up, now it's our turn. They weren't going to give us this blessing. We would have been devastated. We would be so devastated not to have this mother energy working in our society first.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute we would go run and do the same thing we're programmed to do.
It's key as much as the Ankh is the key. It's the womb. It's mother. You can't create without it. You can't have a new world without it.
This is why it's not okay to say no in terms of what we're doing. It's not, I don't like it. It's not my thing. Well, let's just say Mother Earth is saying like it or lump it. It is my thing. And I want mother energy on my surface, and that's just going to have to be the way it is.
You're coming for the ride, whether you like it or not.
And that's the way Barack Obama had to put it when he put his John Henry, is at least 2 months ago, on a document on TV that basically in plain English said, no more hedge funds, boys. And that's the way it's going to be. And he walked off.
Yeah.
That's because there's not one individual on this planet that's more important than the planet itself.
This is why this man who he was trained, this guy Charlie, what I experienced today is he woke up and he is following in the path of Greg Mortensen, Three Cups of Tea. This book, go read it, is about creating peace and building bridges. In the understanding where...
And Michael is going to say something. I know he is. I don't know what he's going to say, but I'm going to say it's going to have to do with it's about building mother society now.
That's right. In matriarchy.
And again, I hear it again. This is not going to be without money because we are going to clean money by using money and creating money together in this place of the Little Guy Network with our consciousness about what we are doing here.
Let me tell you what's different about this money, Tara.
Okay.
Normally, what we're programmed to do is wake up in the morning, put some clothes on, get in a car, join with a bunch of other people, and do work that a lot of it is blood money. Because one or the other ways you're involved in the corporations and you're perpetuating the dark, what they want us to be doing out there. And what's different about this is that we stop, we look around, we take the money we have now, we say to each other, you know what, I think we can do it differently. And we throw all of our money in one big jar and we say, okay, you put in a dollar, you put in a dollar, you put in a dollar. When every time you get six people in your matrix, we're going to do a payout from this big jar. And the more people work it, the more they get paid out. And then we're going to recycle our money in a different way, and we're going to share it with each other. We're going to do projects together, and we're going to put it out there. And that may be a different, better pattern, a better way to circulate this abundant energy of love on this planet now.
And I want to just add that what we experienced this morning with this Moabite Nation is really what we're going to do with it, because they have formed a tribunal of women, Council of 12, and a tribe, and a council of nine. Yes, and that when we get our money together, then we go do it together as well, with the guidance of the grandmothers in the tribunal. And that, and also, Grand Goddess Lily said this about people who would like to become Washita or Moabite. She said, in this nation, which will serve all people in the entire world, people who have done crimes against women and or children, they will be brought before the grandmothers before there's any decision made as to how or what, and not to restrict their membership fully, to decide how we deal with those things. And how we deal with those things is we find healing arrangements and you might say counseling of what a matriarchal society would do in a school of love for all. In every community,
in every
community locally, this global pattern of bringing matriarchal society back to all people must match. That's what it means, as above, so below. This is, again, why, in order to do this, there is a whole sea of opinionated folks. And opinions are not okay in this process. We go to the law, and we stop playing with our southern ends and getting ourselves in more of southern end problemos. And that's not funny, because when the fork in the road occurred at Sodom and Gomorrah, it occurred in all of us, meaning that, and again, we talked about this morning, too, because they even told us to go look up certain things. In John the Beloved, again, and we discussed this before, that it was a council of females. It was 12 female disciples. And that John the Beloved was Magdalene. And that when we read John now in Revelations, we're reading Moabite law coming from the tribunal council of Lady Master Nada of Justice.
Yeah.
Magdalene. Now we've made a huge revelation about this revelation. Remembering, and it's all your fault again, Beth, because you said go to John and read.
I like to stir up trouble, you know.
Okay.
Well known far and wide.
You know, you are a troubadour of sounds of going to the troubleshooter spot.
If anybody forgets, then I remind them.
Let's say we're troubleshooters now. Because
I'm a troubleshooter.
Troubleshooters because, and we're shooting darts of truth in our hearts. We've got a whole bunch of cherubs hanging around us. And that's the way to heal this. We've got to rewrite the modus operandi of the old law in our hearts. And the new law in Revelations, now that we understand that revelation.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Okay, so they went to first Revelations chapter 2. Verse 10. And so, before I go there, I'm just going to pick up.
Before you go there, I want to say this has been canceled. This.
What?
This was written a long time ago, and this version of the story has been canceled.
Which version?
Revelation.
Oh, no, that's not what they said at all. Not at all. It's just the opposite. It's only going to be done when we
There are certain portions of that book that was written that are canceled.
Oh, now the way that it was said is that in the biblical codes, and they said the same book that took us out is the book that brings us back. Like the cat came back from another nation, Pink Panther stuff. And they started with 1839. I can't read the rest of this. I'm sorry. Fort Negro. Fort Negro is in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was called Fort Negro, and they changed it to Jacksonville because Jackson declared war on the Seminoles. That was their land. That was Moabite land.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And they also said that you, Mr. Moses, was also buried in Mount Pisgah along with Moab.
Oh, well.
I'm just telling you, everything we read over there, actually, they did the experiment over here. And Moab was in upstate New York. That's where Moab was born, and then he was buried down here in Pisgah Forest, which is in North Carolina, correct, Beth?
Yes, and upstate New York, are you talking about the Iroquois?
Nope, I'm talking about what I can remember is, remember we talked about this up in Canada, that an Iroquois tribe actually all the way up in Canada called the Tuscaroras, and then a Moabite sister, when I was discussing this sometime on the calls, this is a long time ago, she came on and she said, what I know about the story you're talking about is that a Moabite being from over in France, in terms of the bloodline, every time you listen to a story, you got to say, well, they're not talking about just one person. We're talking about now the house of Moab is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all of us. And Moab was one who was a noble prophet, as Noble Jewel Lee mirrors everything that these prophets do. We all do. In other words, we are of the stars. And actually, the first reference when they anchored the Moabite nation was in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 26. And guess what it was about?
Mm.
It was about self-governance.
Right.
And what does that mean? It means that we understand. Let me go to the chapter and read it.
It means you don't let a bunch of reptilian renegades tell you what you're how you're going to govern. You govern yourself because you're a sovereign being.
You govern with her story.
You govern together as sovereign beings, and that's through Mother with love.
And her story is back to John the Beloved, being Magdalene. Are we getting it, everybody? And who was Ezekiel? He saw that darn old wheel. The New Jerusalem they were talking about, that was the wheel. It was sitting right in front of the Dawn Star Sirius. And remember, we're a trinary sun system. We are, our sun, Sol, and Sirius A and Sirius B are one constellation. Duh. I mean, that's what, okay, so Ezekiel represents one of us coming through the star Sirius. And when we come through the star Sirius, before that, we had to go through the Eye of On. And the Eye of On is spelled A-N. Avantari. That's my name in my galactic position as a geneticist on the ship of the New Jerusalem. And what we are doing all the time while we're here is we're co-creating new species for our new earth, Titala Coria, and we are creating the climate for those new species to be able to come here. And those new species are coated with matriarchy all over them. And those species energies are already here in their nanite form in terms of our communique. And when we go on away missions, there are nanites that create and co-create our stellar transport vehicle that takes us from our bed to wherever we go. Where do you always go, Rama?
To the Fortress of Solitude.
I thought you'd say that.
It's real.
Okay, tell people why you go there all the time. Tell people more about that. You and Beth have been there many times and bringing messages. Tell everybody again so they can understand, because this is a very 3D connection story to where that came from in Superman.
That's right. Alexander Salkind, the executive producer director of the Superman movies, understands the nature, just like Mr. James Cameron, who understands about the Na'vi, is that in different cultures across the galaxies and universes, we don't live in these square boxes that we got here called houses. We live in living structures, and sometimes they grow right out of the earth or the planet itself, and they are sometimes actual quartz crystals that are 24 stories. Let's say, you know, how many stories high is the Empire built?
107.
Yeah. There are crystalline structures on Sirius and Pleiades that are a mile high. There are structures on the moon that are a mile high and on Mars.
Alpha Centauri and Arcturus.
That's right. And they have learned how to build structures that are so solid that not even what you would call tremors or quakes would destabilize the structure. that in the Fortress of Solitude is like one of those actual crystalline structures, that there is a place in the Arctic Circle somewhere near the North Pole, just like in the movies. This is real. It's part of that 1,000-mile-wide area that the planes, if they go and fly into it, it looks like they're flying into outer space because they're stepping into the fifth dimension. And if you cannot handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's what it means. And at that level, as you are flying a 747, you invoke the office of the Christ and Michael Shield. Maybe that plane just might make it over the edge of that event horizon and you'll land in Telos and have a story to tell. Why not? I believe in miracles.
One night you went to the Fortress of Solitude and you told me the story and you said, you know, there was some guards kind of blocking the entrance and you said there were tribbles there and you went and you chased after them and then you found a way in. And then when I heard that story, I wanted to go see them. So I went there right away. And when I got there, Saint Germain was standing outside and he just, he wagged his finger at me like, come here, I want to show you something. And we ran behind the structure and we ran up these stairs and he showed me these stairways and they went on forever and ever and ever. And I guess they were some kind of higher planes. You know, you were trying to explain it to me, Rama, where in this place where the Fortress of Solitude is, there's also other things there too.
Yeah.
It was something like the Nagual.
The only way I know how to describe it is like Jor-El's lab.
Yeah.
And
it's all made of crystal.
It's all made of quartz crystal and different sacred geometric patterns that are different crystalline structures, whether they're tourmalines or quartz or rhodochrosite or chrysoculum or incolarium.
I didn't bring back the whole memory because once you get out into the Nagual like that, you're just floating in an experience. And then, you know, when you come back, it doesn't all come back.
I remember a place somewhere in the solar system where there are amethyst crystals that grow right up out of the, they create like these giant geodes that are, you know, could be the size of an amphitheater dome. Mm-hmm. And they're all made of quartz crystal amethyst.
I've seen that at Arcturus.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mountain ranges made out of amethyst crystal.
That's right. Yeah.
It's stunning when you first see it. But Arcturus is so much bigger than Earth. I mean, it's indescribable how much bigger it is than Earth, and it doesn't look out of place there.
No. And it's really close that's their maybe next destination, like in the movie,
Arcturus is so beautiful. When you first come over the event horizon and you see the three blue moons, you're stunned by how beautiful.
Yeah, this is why it's only going to be done with love and peace.
Now that we have seen this beauty, and we have seen it because one of us has seen it, all of us have seen it, that's what we're working toward. Now, I would like to go back and this morning, I want to read from chapter 21, Ezekiel. I'm going to read first a first section up to verse 21 so you see the context. So it says, then this message came to me from the Lord, son of dust, face toward Jerusalem. This is Ezekiel speaking. And remember, he's from the New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Face toward Jerusalem and prophecy against Israel and against my temple. Capital I and capital T. For the Lord says, I am against you, Israel. I will unsheath my sword and destroy your people, good and bad alike. I will not spare even the righteous. I will make a clean sweep throughout the land from the Negev to your northern borders. And every time we read this, this is all happening here in the United States. For Negro.
This sounds like Jehovah.
No, I'm telling you that this is the truth, because it was the Pharisees had taken over, and they were the money changers. That's the Zionists he's talking about, and he's saying, I will spare none. And that means that's what we're saying here, is that the Moabite nation is what is said, that as you smite Israel, you become mother. And as you join Israel, even as you are a good person, it is just the time has come where the Lord says, I against you, Israel, I will unsheath my sword. We're talking about that capitalism thing. And anybody that's a nice person still sitting there and saying that everything's going to be fine.
Walmart is not a person.
I will unsheath my sword and destroy your people, good and bad alike. I will not spare even the righteous. I will make a clean sweep throughout the land for the Negev, from the Negev to your northern borders. All the world shall know that it is I, the Lord, his sword in his hand. And it will not return to its sheath again until its work is finished. Sigh and groan before the people, son of dust, in your bitter anguish. Sigh with grief and broken heart. As they ask you why, tell them, because of the fearsome news that God has given me, as it comes true, the boldest heart will melt with fear. All strength will disappear. Every spirit will faint. Strong knees will tremble and become as weak as water. And the Lord God says, your doom is on the way. My judgments will be fulfilled. Then again, this message came to me from God. Son of dust, tell them this. O sword, is being sharpened and polished for terrible slaughter. Now will you laugh? For those far stronger than you have perished beneath its power. It is ready now to hand to the executioner. Son of dust, with sobbing, beat upon your thigh, for that sword shall slay my people and all their leaders. All alike shall die. It will put them all to the test. And what chance do they have? The Lord God asks. Prophecy to them in this way. Clap your hands vigorously. Then take a sword and brandish it twice, thrice, to symbolize the great massacre they face. Let their hearts melt with this terror. For a sword glitters at every gate. It flashes like lightning. It is razor-edged for slaughter. O sword, slash to the right and slash to the left, wherever you will, wherever you want. And you have prophecy with clapping hands that I, the Lord, will smite Jerusalem and satisfy my fury. Now, in the present tense, remember, Jerusalem's king is King Carlos of Spain. And Spain is Catholic by by de facto church and state as one, working for the Vatican called Black Pope Lucifer on the planet, who in writing in the Club of Rome, which the Kennedys fund as the Rothschilds of the West, they slaughter us. And that Black Pope is dead. And that is why it was the King of Swords as the representative of Sananda Kumara and the Lord went ahead and did him in. And I'm going to say this, that he did it the way that it says that Saint Germain said it, as Dracul. And you see it in the Highlander, right?
Mm-hmm.
You behead them. That head on a platter of John the Baptist was this same Ezekiel's talking.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Please let me ask you a question that fits in with this.
Okay.
Yesterday you said something that blew my mind, and I started thinking, and I didn't hear what you said, so I have to ask you again. You said something about that the King of Swords came and told you and Rama way back when what your role was and what it was about.
Right.
What did you say?
Okay, and I'm going to include Lady Mastrinada alike.
Of course.
And actually, Lady Mastrinada handled the money, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I just want to say. When you said it yesterday, I said to myself, is that what we're doing? My whole mind just went off, and I didn't hear another thing you said.
Lady,
say it again so I know what I'm doing here.
Okay. No, that is an absolutely tremendous question, because now we're going to bring this to front row center, because so many people think we are talking from fairy tale land, even to this day, in terms of their real lives. And the way you can tell this when you go back and look the next day on the internet, and then you come back and say that Poofness and My Haven and anybody else out there not making this connection says there's something horrible about to happen, and you're worried again. It has to do with, yes, worry is good. Remember, it's healthy to have fear of the Lord.
Mm.
And that means come back and say, why is this bunch of propaganda still happening? And say it inside of you. In other words, that part of us that doesn't quite comprehend how to discern what news is true, it has to do with still government blinders on your heart inside the system. It is so simple, because I don't care who we ask. Anybody you ask in any condition in this country, when you ask, where does your money come to pay for your food and rent, or your home and mortgage, or whatever, your car payment every month, and you trace it back, and it comes to the corporation. That is why Moabite Nation is here. That is why the method of collecting our money in matriarchal society is through the female, and that is anchored in all of Hindu scripture, in all of the teachings of John, Magdalene, and they had to keep that femininity secret.
They had to make male instead of a female.
And you know what? I was Peter's wife at the time of Jesus, which means wherever Peter was sitting in that round table, it was me. I was with Mother, with the discipleship of the feminine, and that was what was so intense about Black women, Black Mother coming to Rome.
That's right.
And Rome is burning now, right here in our district of criminals, everyone. That Rome. Huh?
Sorry, but you didn't answer my question yet.
Uh-oh. Go back there and ask me again. It was It was necessary to say that because...
I know.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and say it again. I'll bring me back.
Yesterday we were on the call and you were saying what King of Swords and Lady Master Nada came to you and Rama and said was your role of what you're doing here. And that was way before I came along, but I listened and I said, really?
Oh. Okay, yes, 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 yes. Okay, you know, it's only recently that we have been talking again about the different funds for Nasara's announcement. And there was the number one fund is that porpoise fund that really begins with a D. You know, one of the other fellow mammals that travel in the seas where porpoises are.
Right.
And so every time I say the porpoise fund, you understand what I mean. Okay, everybody? And why do you think we're talking about our dolphin holographic brains? Because that was the energy forthwith, that the name of that fund, being Lady Master Nada's fund, being Lady Di's fund, Lady Di being Sarah, Sarah's fund, Sarah born of Mother Magdalene and Yeshu, her father, and her grandfather, Saint Germain, Yosef of Imhotep Yosef, and Yosef of the coat of many colors, meaning the Moabite nation, going into the den of iniquity called Rome, wherever it might show up again. And Rome, the dominant Rome, has showed up in the West, and that is where it was should. And because it was brought, the experiment was going to happen with the energies of the Western Hemisphere, because that was where it was designated. It was because the land of Mu is of the West.
Mm-hmm.
The motherland, this land. So what did they do there? They went and they delineated and researched and went over every piece of land this morning that is declared as Moabite on this map, and discerned all the native tribes of the Moabites on this land. That happened this morning. We were so blown away we couldn't talk. This whole story that we're reading is about here. It all happened here before, and it's here now. And the word River Jordan is chilly and cold, chills the body yet not the soul.
Mm.
That River Jordan starts in Asia.
Well, it's...
And it connects the people of color that they wanted to use that weapon that was DNA specific, that the Chinese, Asian red and green, 6 million strong said, oh, no, you don't. You will not eviscerate half a billion of our people because you don't like the gene code that you want to eliminate at its core. Those half a billion people that would carry this on. This has never been about anything except erasing time as it is true. And Mother Moabite Nation now has to reveal that and has to set the timeline straight now in this present moment, since there never was a past and there never was a future. There was always and still is and always will be now. And that's called immortal now. And until that immortal now knows what that means in terms of knowing the history, and then making in physical connectedness with all of Earth's children the revisitation of mother and follow that mother pattern to now and keep it. And that's why Benjamin Franklin said, as a Moabite Moor Freemason sitting for 13 years with the Iroquois, and all of our other founding fathers being deists, they knew about Moabites. They knew that that's what was brought in here, deism. Mother is the deist we're talking about. 0 point. Unconditional love.
Torah?
Yeah.
I'm going to get somewhere where I forget my question.
Oh, okay. So Lady Master Nada. Lady Master Nada overshadowed Magdalene. So you might say that Lady Master Nada represents mother, black mother of this nation in the West.
The Black Madonna.
The Black Madonna of the West. Mm-hmm. In other words, she knew from her own bloodline and that she was galactic on top of it, and that she was choosing in the West across the pond to come in Lebanon. And also to transplant, and her mother and her father transplanted themselves and her over here. Excuse me. And not just anywhere in the West, in the Southwest. Now we're talking about white buffalo calf woman energy. And you might say that's Lady Master Nada in this time. There are individual bloodlines that can trace themselves here. Here first. And then there. In other words, Magdalene coming in over there. The real story is Magdalene coming in and over here first, which is the Black Madonna energy. Now, the buck stopped in England, you know, at the time of Sir Francis Bacon's time. And this is Saint Germain's story, and that's why the dolphin story. The dolphin story is bringing our ability back as holographic brain-mind function it is. This brain here is identical in its capacity as the dolphin's brain. And it has been messed with. Nevertheless, it is the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. And the winds of change. So when mother comes back, it comes back through us representing the understanding that we are not just individually saying, it's up to her.
When's Lady Nada going to declare it's a republic again and get on TV and announce Nasara?
Lady Master Nada is going to do that when we do it as her, as mother. That's what it says. And guess what? Grand Goddess Lily announced this, and Grand Goddess Forestine read all of this morning and said that...
Did you answer my question yet?
Yes, because Lady Master Nada started this, and Lady Master Nada is meeting us, the Moabite Nation, through Grand Goddess Lily and Grand Goddess Forestine, and she's meeting them in Washington, D.C. with Barack Obama. With the King of Swords on the same TV.
Right.
And Barack Obama is going to sign the Moabite Nation that we are, and he's going to sign it in front of the world.
Good.
On TV.
Oh, yeah.
And the delegates from the summit, including our Moabite Marshal, that the King already told us without naming, that it's not only possible, it's highly probable that this being will be able to be representing the orders that need to be given. Once he signs that, he gives the orders to the Provost Marshal General to go get him. This is unbelievable, but it's highly true. We had to keep this covered up. What was that called? It was called that Porpoise Fund. That Porpoise Fund was brought to the Southwest in New Mexico. And, you know, New Mexico was never anything different than Mexico. And that was just something that was a name that people just didn't make the historical connection of. And that was not just a joke, because it needed to be here, because Santa Fe, the city of Holy Faith, and what did we say that female is? It is the faith in the wisdom that must come before the action. Female, before action. And so Santa Fe, same story. Female, F-E-M-A-L-E, and faith are one. The source is where we put our faith, in female, in mother. So that had to come to Santa Fe, the first capital in the Southwest of the United States of America, where that America represents the I Am race of Moabite nation, coming from the West to help all nations come in one nation again and make that seat of power, sign it over, called Barack Obama. And so it started with NADA, and it's completing it with NADA in one single lifetime. And we all volunteered as Moabites to come into the West, into this North America, North America, I Am Race Consciousness of Mother in the Moabite Nation, signed for planetary citizenry now by Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That's El Moria signing it. El Moria is on the same electric blue ray of Archangel Michael. And Archangel Michael has a message for us, I understand, today, Lady Master Beth.
He's ready. He keeps tapping me on the shoulder.
Okay, well then let me read these few little things. I'm almost done.
Does that mean I got to go now too?
Yes.
That's drama.
Okay, say, prophesy to them in this way. Clap your hands vigorously. Then take a sword and brandish it. We're talking about Michael's sword now of truth. Take a sword, yet it will do its job in terms of 3D. And that's why we talked about this. Ezekiel's head was chopped off and put on a platter by the daughter of who? Caesar?
Oh, are you talking about when Salome danced for King Herod?
Salome was King Herod's daughter.
She was the...
Yeah, she was Herod's daughter.
Oh, I thought she was the daughter of the Egyptian lady who was married to King Herod. And I
But Herod wasn't her father?
I don't know if he was.
See,
or
I know
not.
That her mother was married to Herod.
Yeah. What, Beth?
Is that Sheba?
No. Herod didn't have a daughter that was Sheba. No. Sheba was born in Ethiopia.
Oh.
And she was a Moabite of the discipleship at that time, of Tut, you might say. You might say, because Tut was the energy of Sananda Kumara, and he never died, and he's still here.
I just remember in the movie Jesus of Nazareth, John the Baptist came, and he preached, and they put him in the prison, and Salome danced for King Herod, and he, you know, got all excited, and when she was done, she, you know, he said,
What would you like as your wish?
And she said, bring me the head of the Baptist. I want to look at him.
Mm-hmm. On a platter.
On a platter. And
now, what does that mean? Because that means she wanted to behead the Ashtar Command in terms of who Ezekiel was. He was from the Ashtar Command. He was from the New Jerusalem. And he was coming as an intervener in our civilization's development from Ashtar. And he was teaching these things, and she said, let's get rid of that. Let's cut off his head.
Uh-huh.
And that was all premeditated in terms of it had to happen because it is part of the his story that needed to be cleared up in that timeline. And it wasn't cleared up yet. They were still using methods of, which was impossible. That's what it said. You know, you can hurt my body. Sticks and stones will break my bones, yet names will never hurt me. No curses, no oaths. Same breath. You don't take an oath to something else than yourself, your bodhisattva self, and that is absolutely what they did. The Vatican take an oath to the Black Pope, please. Please take an oath to Lucifer, whether you understand it or not, and we will just use you and spit you up. Prophecy to them, okay. That sword. Take a sword and brandish it twice, thrice, to symbolize your great massacre, the great massacre they face. We're doing this by clearing this and reading this. We're saying, that which is Herod in you still, that which you still choose to be staying tethered to, called corporation. That's what we're saying by literally. Tell them, tell those so-called good-hearted people, tell them at the core it matters not, good or evil. You're still serving the beast.
Right.
Take that sword and brandish it twice, thrice to symbolize the great massacre they face. Let their hearts melt with terror, for a sword glitters at every gate. It's the sword of truth, remember, Archangel Michael. That's why he protects that seat of power that Barak is sitting in, representing all the Moabite nation of the world. It flashes like lightning. It is razor-edged for slaughter. O sword, slash to the right and slash to the left, wherever you will, wherever you want. You and you have prophesied with clapping hands that I, the Lord, will smite Jerusalem and satisfy my fury. That means, he said, I will smite the Vatican, because the Vatican, through the King Carlos, is the King of Jerusalem. And they will stop not until they destroy that temple there, that mosque, and they take over that place and they put a basilica in honor of Lucifer there instead. Then this message came to me, the Lord said, Son of dust, make a map, and on it trace two routes for the king of Babylon to follow. One to Jerusalem, the other to Rabbah in Transjordan. That's in the south, and Babylon is in the north. And then put a signpost at the fork in the road from Babylon. This is the one that they want you to know, that this is the one that Grand Goddess Forestine said they put right at the top, which was going to talk about self-governance. Chapter 21. Oh, no, it's not. I've got a few more. Verse 26. This is just verse 21. For the king of Babylon stands at a fork, uncertain whether to attack Jerusalem or to attack Rabbah. He will call that upon his magicians to use divination. They will cast lots by shaking arrows from the quiver. They will sacrifice to idols and inspect the liver of their sacrifice. They will decide to turn toward Jerusalem with battering rams. They will go against the gates, shouting for the kill. They will build siege towers and make a hill against the walls to reach the top. Jerusalem will not understand this treachery. How could the diviners make this terrible mistake? For Babylon is Judah's ally and has sworn to defend Jerusalem. Yet the king of Babylon will think only of the times the people rebelled. He will attack and defeat them. The Lord God says again and again, your guilt cries out against you. For your sins are open and unashamed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, all is filled with sin. And now the time of punishment has come. O King Zedekiah, evil prince of Israel, your final day of reckoning is here. And we're talking about Washington, D.C. now. Babylon is over here in Washington, D.C. Take off your jeweled crown. This is the one. Chapter 21, Ezekiel, verse 26. Ezekiel also being John the Baptist. Take off your jeweled crown, the Lord God says. The older The old order changes. Now the poor are exalted and the rich brought very low. That's the whole verse. I'm going to finish now. I will, and it's going to have another one. I will overturn the kingdom so that even the new order that emerges will not succeed until the man, capital M, appears who has a right to it. And I will give it all to him. What does this mean? It means mankind, that which mankind of mother, show me, I'm from Missouri. Oh, I think mother is here. Maybe we better say hello, Beth.
Okay, but let me bring Michael too. It's going to take me a minute. And everybody be patient, because I notice when Michael uses my voice, he talks slow sometimes and he takes pauses. So I'm going to mute out her and let's say hi to mother.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to read the other two verses from John before we start.
Very good.
That should be enough time. Okay, so we're going
And I just want to say, everybody, if you'd like to call in and ask questions now, you should. And the number is 415-762-1161. Thanks, Tara. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean John, because I can do John, but we did that the other day. I'll read the first verse. Okay. John, verse 1, chapter 1. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive, and he is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he did not make. Remember, this is Magdalene speaking. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. That's the mankind that Barack Obama is representing right now, and he's receiving it with his blue electric sword of Michael's truth that we've just been going to hear from. His light is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now we go to Revelation chapter 2 and then verse 13. Verse 10. Stop being afraid of what you are about to suffer, for the devil will soon throw some of you into prison to test you. You will be persecuted for 10 days. Remain faithful, even as facing death, and I will give you the crown of life, an unending, glorious future. And then verse 13. This message, write this letter to your leader of the Church of Pergamos. Oh, this is 12, and then on to 13. This message is from him who wields the sharp and double-bladed sword. I am fully aware that you live in the city where Satan's throne is. We're talking about D.C. now, everybody. At the center of satanic worship, and yet you have remained loyal to me and refused to deny me, even as Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you by Satan's devotees. And that was number 13, and I'm done. And I think I hope I'm waiting and seeing. Shall we say hello? Are we ready, Lady Master? I don't know what to do now, because...
Greetings,
Mother.
In the light of the most radiant one, in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, we invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame.
We ask at this time for the energies of highest truth of all that is to come to all sentient beings, wherever they may be, in this earth plane or in other dimensions, all other dimensions. We ask that we come together now, that Mother is calling, and that we come here now, and we be the ones who come and bring Tita Lakoria, the Diamond One, whole again, and make our people whole. Make our people whole. And everyone has the choice to be one with all of us, as we are all our people. Mother, thank you, and thank you for shedding all the light you do with us always. And again, now, thank you, Mother. Hello.
Hello.
Greetings. This is Michael.
Greetings, Lord Michael.
Quite intense with the energies of what is occurring at these moments, of what you are witnessing, the very last final threads of this frayed, unraveled rug. Yet, do magic carpets fly? Okay. It is about the reality wherein which you coexist with so many other realities interacting at this moment that have to do with the fact that we are at a pivotal point in your evolution and development. It is at that critical juncture you said you come in and change the timelines now and remember who you are. At this time, we can say, what is occurring? As you are taking a look at that old book, yet the old stories are the same stories that are, in a sense, coming full circle where, we do not have to go to the ultimate smackdown on the plains of Megiddo.
Thank you.
We have done this story, doing this with peace and love this time.
Didn't Tutmosis the Third do that story the last time?
Yes.
They had to go through that narrow passage through the River Jordan, which was called by that same name, the passage of Megiddo.
And the limp
and fight the battle. It was already done back in Egypt. Why do we need to repeat it now?
You are watching your Mr. Schumer Meet the Press talking about fake terrorist stories and other issues of why 9/11, these games, it all goes back to this. And we will just say, the lady who said it, oh, I was fair game, gonna start singing. Better listen up, cause this is the shift here now. All of the waters that you would call the perpetrators that committed 9/11 gonna be trotted out, frog marched. Why is it that interesting interlude at this moment we bring this up has to do with the real story. Not the fear card that is going on right now. And in this moment, we would just say, John Boniface, others, bringing this full circle where it is the time the light has already won. And we are moving on with a new chapter in Satyuga energy, yet at the same time, gotta finish this old story, the Syrian commander about to bring accountability to the war crimes of 9/11, restores your Moabite nation to its true pristine nature. The original people, our people, from Nibiru and generations on, they were here. We were here first. This is why this story gotta be told.
What do you mean by we were here first? We Moabites?
Yes.
Right.
The people of the Black Land. And that story gotta be told in every nook and cranny of this nation that has to do with the Republic as you see fit to keep it. You could say the Lavender Lad already got it sewn up in the bag and done with. That why Bank of Saint Germain already open for business. Now all your banks got that rainbow money, funny money sitting there, yet they can't talk about it, and when you ask, they go, shh, don't tell me, we know, we can't talk about it. And if you get too itchy standing in line here, I'm gonna have to push that button and the guard gonna come over and you're gonna be trotted off. And it has to be where these stories get told now. And out of, you could say, angels in the outfield are coming, sharing their stories now. It is about love and that energy where you are. The ones who are making the moments come to pass as we are witnessing miracles from these angels in the outfield that have to share their stories. We got one sitting right here.
Who's and that? Could I imagine?
Contrary to the popular belief of that movie, he does not take a pound of sugar with his coffee.
No, Michael. Michael, you're talking, Mother's talking about you. I finally got it.
Yes!
And what you might say is that the Michael energy, and that has to do with what is the Order of Michael. There is an Order of Michael, and they work together with the Order of Melchizedek and the Order of Ma'at.
Yes, and what is occurring is divine justice. They are slitting their own throats with their own last rites, and they continue with the left-hand path, blind with the idea that their new world order will come to pass, and it is already in ruins. How you wake up with your brothers and sisters in the Matrix is you share the love. It is that simple, that stupid, yet that hard to get, because they put these blocks in your head, separating the heart from the head. And the heart leads the way, not the head, yet this funny little thing that happened along the way to Rome. We got stuck between headlight, taillight, and with the men, yes. What?
The speaker's there.
Let us just say surround sounds hears us.
That's much clearer.
Yes!
Thank you.
We are just saying, in this moment, here, now, awakening to zero point in this second, the energies are being called forth for you to do your sacred duty, your dance, as you were recruited for this mission, and you signed the documents and read the fine print that said the promise, and promptly forgot where you were. And yes, we heard the call, and that story, lost in the garden. Oh, the angels wandering around in the garden. Well, we can say, Michael, Metatron, Maitreya, ourselves back. It is about how we do this with the sisterhoods, brotherhoods, together. Gotta remember the stories, like the poem the brothers shared this morning on the Washita call. It is about healing that which is the goddess that got put in the back seat, and she became pregnant and barefoot at the sink. And, these so-called white guys took over? The fat cats from Wall Street, C Street, K Street? Yep, they do the bidding of that which is called Lucifer, our wayward children. And it comes back to the original story that has to be told. And no lies here. It is about 26,826,000 years ago, we began this little Kali Yuga issue. Or even further back, if you want to go, the idea of the story is they knew you would come to this time. And who is to say what would happen at December 21st, 2012? And, like some have said, maybe just another day in paradise, like the man Phil Collins sings about. You and me, and it is about paying it forward in the understanding in which it is about healing this. Yes, it is in the sense of the understanding that what is happening here, all right now, who is to say what will happen with the 2012 issue? And it is about, in this moment, being neutral, hollow tube, working with the energies of the reed. Hollow tube, the water fill up the reed, and it keep going. An endless waterfall, filling up, spilling over. At that level, one hand clapping in the universe, that is the word in the sense what is occurring here now. You have been given the keys to the kingdom, not by Lucifer, but by yourselves, with the wisdom of who you are. Calling upon the midichlorians, the mitochondria, what is within your junk DNA that activates as you talk to it, And that is why sometimes you see some crazy folks, as you call them, sitting on the street corners. They are not crazy at all. They are angels. How many angels can we talk about that are in the reality in which I send you 100,000 angels?
There are 100,000 legions of angels with their legions of angels. I would like to bring a story today. I would like to share your story, what Mother is talking of. I'd like to go back a little bit to the time where the original creator gods and goddesses came, and that is you, and they are called the Aboriginals. These are the same ones who were there at the nuclear holocaust at Sodom, and everyone was essentially blown away, and their DNA had to be reset by Archangel Metatron, and he worked closely with Mother because that energy has to come through Mother first, and Metatron is in charge of holding that divine blueprint, and reconstituted those bodies. And those ones went on to join the tribes in the land of Egypt, in those other areas surrounding that. And these were the Moabites, the first seed that was born to the daughter of the father after this Holocaust was Moabite. That is where this name comes from. All of these reconstituted souls are Moabites from this name. In time, then came a period where one highly evolved soul came, known as Moses and Akhenaten. This was two separate bodies and one soul in a bilocated sense, living both lifetimes at the same time. During Akhenaten's time, there's a story that says, in the morning the sun rises and the boat crosses the river, and with the setting sun, each morning the boat goes back across. And what this is actually referring to is each night is that Akhenaten was in his human body on the earth only during the sunlight hours. At night he would go in his craft across the waters that cover the waters, which is known as the Stargate, and do his work on the starships at night. And he was only in that physical body when the sun, when Mother, when Father Alcyone were present. Now, Akhenaten and Moses led the exoduses and led the people away from these mobster thug tribal groups in that area. And when Akhenaten's people left Egypt, they went towards Europe. And when Moses' people left, they crossed the Jordan and went into North America, which is now the Americas. And these people were all black-skinned people. It was after a time when they got into their new places. Now, after the nuclear holocaust at Sodom, the intergalactic war criminals were brought up on intergalactic charges, and they went to the solar tribunal. Some of them were sent back to Dracos. They were no longer allowed on Earth. Other ones went back to Earth, and when they did, they went back to reforming their mobster thug groups that they had before. These are the dark hats that have been here all along. If you're here living on Earth, you are one of the Aboriginals who became the Moabites. These are all one people. Now, when that nuclear holocaust happened, there were the Kumaras watching from Venus, and that story of the wise one who was meditating under the tree. And when he heard a nuclear bomb go off, he did not leave his meditation. That's a true story, but that one was a Kumara sitting under a tree on Venus when he watched that nuclear explosion go off. And these intergalactic war criminals who were responsible back then brought in these forces of light known as the Galactic Federation. And then the Kumara brothers, Sanada Kumara and Ashtar and the others, were charged with keeping the peace on this planet and helping Mother Gaia. So now I would like to remind you that this story about Akhenaten only being in his body during the daylight hours is like the story about Jake Sully on Avatar. Every morning when you wake up, you're taking up your body and you are spending your daylight hours to come back here as the original people and change what needs to be changed now. As time went on, then the groups who wanted to be in control, the renegade reptilians, they gathered up the strong men for armies, and they put them through procedures, and these procedures stripped the melanin from their skin, and they wanted them. They chose only the largest and the strongest, as they wanted them to be thugs. And the others, the Moabites who started out in the Blue Ridge Mountains, spread out as they grew, as their tribes grew, they spread out across the seaboard to the south, over to the Mississippi River. They were farmers. They came here to be gardeners. They came here to commune with the elemental kingdoms, the plant kingdoms, the animal kingdoms, and to live in peace. And they moved up the Mississippi River as they enjoyed farming near the river. And they went as far all the way out to the Missouri River. And that land encompasses what was the Louisiana Purchase. And that's a whole nother story. And they chose the largest and the strongest to join their armies, and when they indoctrinated them in the armies, they did procedures on them to strip out their melanin, and then we became the black and the white and everything in between. And the task now is to remember, melanated or non-melanated, we all come from the Aboriginal Moabite Nation. We are all one people. We have to drop that program now. When that melanin got stripped out of those strong, burly thugs, it also weakened their immune system, and they didn't live very long, and they were bred to grow up, beat up, and then drink up, and that they were just made to be armies. Now, these ones that I've been speaking of are the same ones that are doing this again. And let me explain about Earth Ascension. When we talk about the first dimension is length, the second dimension is width, the third dimension is height, the fourth dimension is time, and the fifth dimension is the etheric. And you're coming into the fifth dimension. You're already here. All you have to do simply is to remember that you're an etheric being living in a physical body. And I want to talk about why the Elohi came into the physical in the first place. Now, visualize a woman sitting on the beach next to the water, as close to the water as she can be without getting wet. Her back is to the sea. She's sitting on her knees on the ground, and her legs are apart. She's sitting right on the ground. And imagine that this divine blueprint body, this feminine body, is built with an upside-down vessel built inside. And when that woman is connecting with the ground, with Mother, then the cosmic rays are coming in and being held inside that vessel. And that is the spirit, the divine all that is. All that energy is collected into that vessel. And remember, the Alohi could remember where they came from, where every water droplet, every petal on every flower, every leaf on every tree knew that it was sentient and knew that its job was to be love. And these Alohi remembered and knew what it felt like to walk on planets where everything was in communion with everything else, and it was all love. And they chose to come into the physical to experience love with more sensual experience than they could before. And so when man merges with woman, they are coming into that vessel filled with the cosmic rays. And as they raise that energy up the kundalini and it forms into this ecstatic bliss and it starts to pulsate out, these Alohi were pulsating out love. The only reason they wanted to experience love in the physical was not for to create children. Nothing to do with that. They wanted to send out that love. That love, when it goes out from the twin flames in that cosmic way, shoots out and touches everything else in the universe. And that love becomes more love and it affects everything around it. And that's the part for us to remember now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord Michael, is there anything that you would like us to glean in terms of a next step in our cooperation now with your sort of truth in the district, you know, of criminals, that place called Babylon now in the West?
When these Kumaras, your brothers and your sisters, saw what the next step of the plan would be, it involved the fact that these renegade reptilians did not only want to control Earth and the people on it, they also wanted to control all their planets and those on those planets. And they said, no, that's not going to happen. However, Earth is different. There's a prime directive, and they could not get involved unless there was a nuclear holocaust or a psychological holocaust. And 9/11 was a psychological holocaust. How? Because they had miniature atomic explosions in those buildings, and they took those buildings down at demolition speed. And then what happened? They entered into fake wars into different countries as they tried to continue to take over this planet and be in control of it. And that caused a holocaust. That psychological holocaust. Let's take Jesse Ventura for an example. He was an elected official. He was in charge of an entire state of this country. This psychological holocaust was staged in the financial district, in one of the most important buildings in one of the most important nations on the planet. This was designed. Now, when he watched this, he's ex-military, naval SEAL, demolitions expert. He worked with demolitions for 4 years. And he said he watched this happen, and it did not register to him that that was a demolition operation because it was a psychological holocaust. It blew the minds of so many people all throughout the earth so devastatingly. They were perfectly willing to charge right into war and to be controlled again. And that's a psychological holocaust. And it's time now for these Kumara brothers and sisters to come in and help, because they've been asked to help. And what is to be gleaned is, it's good to talk about the history. As these ones are waking up, they have to remember their history. But what's even important now is to take it past these stories. These stories are just what they are. They're stories. Leave them stay where they are. They're in the past. We have to start talking about love and only love. We have to start talking about how do I connect with my third eye? How do I get out of body? How do I connect with more love? How do I talk to my guide? Anyone who has experience doing that should be sharing their stories with others. The other thing for us to know now is this is getting taken care of. Everything will be moving on. The new systems of governance will be coming in. The new systems of using money as abundance and energy will be coming in. However, anyone who hasn't taken the time to clean up their lives, although this energy of love will be coming in, although this new abundance will be coming in, you will not be in the place you want to be. And when you get handed these new things and you look around, you'll wonder why you're not in the spot you thought you would be in. It may be because you didn't do the work first. Anyone who took the time to clear their trauma, to get right and settle their things that are in their homes, to get their right relationships with themselves, with their neighbors, and with God, those ones will be where they want to be when everything shifts. The other ones will have a big surprise. They won't be there. They'll still have to do the work, and it will be as wonderful as it's been said it will be, but it will be a surprise because it won't be as it was visioned. The work will still have to be done.
Yes.
There's time now to focus on love. There's time now to clean up your house. There's time now to make a peace in all of your relationships, especially with yourself and also with your God.
We concur. Not to interrupt, we got two callers waiting.
Thank you, Mother.
Snapdragon from Arizona, line one.
You have been patiently waiting for a very long time. I hope you're still there. Are you there, Snapdragon?
Sorry, I'm back. I'm about to go to John McCain's mansion for a water gathering. And I just want to ask for prayers of protection and oneness. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, sir. Be well, line B1.
Good afternoon, Mother, Beth, and Tara, and all the radio listening audience. And I do have a question for Mother. Mother, my question is this. What are some of the events that are going to happen this particular week? Would you love to share that with the entire radio audience? I pass the talking stick.
We would just say that energies of what is going on has to do with the understanding the Syrian commander is doing what needs to be done in the events of what you are witnessing is tsunami of energy that has to do with the exposure that goes to the deepest levels of this empire. Right now, they are out of time, out of money. They are not out of love, yet they think they are. And what could happen this week, you may see the final straw that will break the camel's back. Don't know. Just have to say that it is blowing in the wind the answer, my friend, because it has to do with the healing on all levels. And that reality in which what you are witnessing, there are so many pieces to this issue. We could not just say in one short moment.
Okay, thank you, Mother.
Big Will, are you satisfied with the answer, or do you have another question? You sound a little bit like you're not sure.
No, that's quite fine. Thank you. Namaste, dear ones.
Thank you.
One thing that's happening now is the Indigo children in these different countries are raising up to say, we see the illusion. We are not this, and we refuse to continue this way. In Thailand, they're throwing rocks at each other. In Somalia, they're shooting each other. In Kazakhstan, they're hitting each other with sticks. And everything is dissolving that was before. We're coming into no time. And these ones are simply saying, we recognize that this isn't right, and we want something different.
Yes.
Archangel Michael.
Yes.
Could we have a reflection on your take on a possible timing? Because you are in charge of seeing to it that justice is done and the truth be told from your viewpoint, from what's going on with the Syrian commander. And this collaboration now with Grand Goddess Lily and all of the delegates from the summit being invited to come to Washington. Can you just comment on what you see around all the players for that to come together?
Yes. This is a situation of first things first. We must have one before we can have the other. What's happening now is there are meetings around the world with the world leaders. They've been ongoing. They're not publicizing them in the papers, but they're happening every day. An example is the the nuclear meeting in New York City that went from May 1st to May 23rd. The world leaders come in and out of that meeting, and what they're discussing is the end of nuclear proliferation. It's absolutely a must before we go on.
Yes, and we have to say that these ones who represent the Anunnaki are ancient children. Who call you, sir, to talk about the Elohai who fell and became Elohim. And they are playing with these ideas of taking the atom and playing with their technology of death. Yet it is futile at best. We are here. We are not going anywhere. It would be in your best interest to come along quietly.
Other things are going on. Cards, I flew to London to talk with the new Prime Minister, David Cameron. And this is another one of these things Mother's talking about. They want to have some funny business. They want to work things out their way, and they're not going to get their way.
Funny money, funny stories. Sarkozy wanting to quit the EU. Just saying, I'm out of here. It is about the money and what's behind the money. Nothing. It is their fear of us. We have come to collect the chips, if you will, from the gambling table. All bets are off. The casino is closed. And it has to do with the temporal time folks that have shown up to fix the timelines. Do you get it?
These meetings are going on all the time, and they're not putting it on the news. The space shuttle Atlantis just docked this morning. I wonder why. What was in that payload of the space shuttle Atlantis that went up? We'll have to hear that story later, but right now what I'm doing is I can only speak for myself. Mother is there. Saint Germain is there. Other angels are there. I'm going into these meetings, and I'm at these meetings, and these ones who are still trying to cut these deals are being watched very closely as we guide them out and show them the door.
It is about the true story of what is going on, Afghanistan, Iraq, Tajikistan, all of these places with the stand. It is about the teachings of Padmasambhava, the Buddha, Sanat Kumara, Ancient of Days, and the 14 Kumaras are here, along with all the sisterhood, brotherhoods. It would be wise to stand down and come along quietly, as we have said. All the questions will be answered at the Solar Tribunal. That is where it is about to hit the fan, as it is called.
So it's not a traveling in the physical right now, back and forth?
Yes.
With the king?
Yes.
What's the name of their ship?
Oh. It
just
is
thought
called
Thoth. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that ship? No, it's the Phoenix that's supposed to show up over the Caribbean, right? Over
yes.
the Gulf of Mexico. Does that mean Soltix is going to handle that mess in their waters?
And Tatumi will be part of it as
so
well.
So is the Thoth coming in over there, or is it Soltix?
Soltix.
That's the Phoenix that's coming in
yes.
over the Gulf of Mexico. So where is the vortex for Thoth's ship to come in?
Over the Polaris Star.
Over the North Pole?
Yes.
So, what's that Andromeda ship with its triangulation? Is that coming from Sananda Kumara's delegation?
The peace ambassadors, of which Dennis Kucinich and his wife Elizabeth are the ambassadors of peace from Andromeda. They are like Spock and Sarek.
Okay, now how do I rectify or get this together? Because I know that Sananda Kumara is the admiral in charge on the New Jerusalem. Now you're saying his template, Sananda Kumara, King of Swords, and Lady Master Nada, has a different ship called the Thoth.
We are saying they play around and move from ship to ship as business pertains.
Well, are you trying to say that when we say that Sananda Kumara is the admiral in charge of the
yes,
New Jerusalem, that means that all the other fleets are in his charge, too?
They have to answer to the flagship, which is called New Jerusalem.
So the Thoth represents a delegation of us to the earth in order for us to represent that which we are already fully. In other words, the energies of which he's sitting over there, Sananda, with Nada on above the North Pole, you know, directly in line with bringing in the flow of the energies from Polaris through that positioning and securing it with the help of the Andromedans
to actually keep the poles from flipping?
Yes.
How dangerously close did we really come to flipping, Mother? And when did it really be assured
that
it wasn't
going
to go that way anymore?
We can tell you the necklace of ships around your planet have been there since the time you detonated that bomb.
1945, you mean?
We have been there since that time, and no, we will not allow what you speak of.
Well, you allowed just enough to scare the heaven out of everybody down here, Mother.
It is part of the awakening in which where you could say the captain and the admiral. Now they get to call the shots with the Lavender Lad, and these ones will be taking a council with the defense at the Solar Tribunal.
Oh, my gosh.
Big Will back on line two again.
Big Will, line two.
Is that Marita Robert? We haven't heard your voice until now.
I've been here. I'm just quiet.
Okay, well, we called and called and called you at the beginning, and you weren't there. That's why I'm so surprised you're here. I didn't see that you were here.
No, I came in about 5 minutes late.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't even... Forgive me for being unattentive. I'm sorry.
Is that Alan or Big Will?
Big Will on line two, and then Alan.
I thought Big Will had already asked, or is he back?
He did, and then we have Alan, and then we have Big Will back. So Alan should be before. All right. Thank you, Beth.
Alan, I'm B1, I'm line one.
Hello, Marita Robert. Am I on now?
You are.
Yes.
Okay, hello to you and... Tara and Mother Sekhmet and Archangel Michael. Mother Sekhmet, on Thursday, you mentioned 15 from ACIO. And I asked a question the other night regarding that, and Rama told me that he was able to use blank slate technology and go 750 years into the future and negotiate some items to come back and change the timeline that already went into play. Now, I'm wondering, was his statement accurate, and are we readjusting a timeline that has already played out in a very destructive way, and are we, as we speak, recreating a new timeline and changing and morphing what has already happened to have a more loving and positive outcome?
We would concur, Commander, with what you speak of, and this is what Dr. Greer and the other commanders that are sitting at the highest levels of this planet are dealing with. And the military biomedical industrial complex is in ruins. Love them even more as they give themselves last rites. It is that serious now.
Thank you very much. That's the talking stick. Namaste.
Yes. Namaste.
Okay, Big Will, you're back, hey, on line B2. Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Mother. First of all, thank you, Marita Roberts. We sure appreciate your hard work, and we thank all of you, Mother, Tara, Rama, and Beth especially. I would like to say that the first week of June, I understand that Belka Burger Group is going to be meeting in Switzerland for the first week of June. Do you have an idea what that is all about, Mother? I passed the talking stick.
we would say they are, in a sense, being called to counsel to figure out what they are going to try to pull off in the next 3 months, 90 days. Yet, we will just say what is being laid out in Lavender. You watch what is occurring in the Gulf region and the stories that are occurring that have to do with this small rebel band of life forms we call a wayward children who think they can own a planet and they cannot even own themselves in the mastery of understanding that what is occurring is the reality wherein which they have already lost. You can take all the precautions in the world and these skills happen. It has to do with the issues that are occurring with how they obfuscate and create false stories appearing real. It is about murder and genocide and war crimes. And we don't mean to make light of it. It is about the fact they have to go to trial.
I was going to say something about this one, Mother, the new nominee for judgeship.
Yes, Kagan.
What's her first name again?
Elena Kagan.
Elena Kagan. I was listening to a little bit on Meet the Press this afternoon. And Senator Schumer brought up something called the Solomon Amendment. And it was an amendment that was made, and she did not agree with when she was the head of the Harvard School of Law. And she said that military recruitment, she was voting against having military recruiters on the campus at Harvard University.
That is a good thing.
She said no. And then the judges, she lost in court 8-0.
Because it has to do with who gets paid and shot in the
back
of the head.
Yes. What we learned about it is that the recruiters, as she were to get her way, there would be no funding of the entire Harvard University. And that was meaning coming from the government, which means that Senator Schumer was basically saying that was cool. And Senator Schumer obviously then is completely 100% compromised with his allegiance to the Khazarian Zionist Bolsheviks, which all three of those entities are functioning through Israel, the same Israel we just read about that it would be eviscerated. And that means those imposters who took over, which is the Vatican,
yes,
in Israel, in Jerusalem.
Creating a fake story about the man. And the man.
And the man was a member of the Ashtar Command and still is, and his name is Sananda Kumar. He's not just any man, he's the admiral in charge.
He is the admiral in charge.
Do you see? And everybody, this is, you know, as many fairy tales that you've been thinking we've been saying. I mean, we as the messenger, the King of Swords has been saying, go tell them, girls and boys.
And I would like to share something with this answer as well.
Oh, Archangel Michael, bless you. I pass the talking stick.
Now it's May 16th, what we call time. And this question was about a meeting for June 1st. And as we focus on time and meetings, we're focusing on the fourth dimension, and we don't get to the fifth dimension by doing that. And now we must bust through this illusion. Now think of these Kumaras on the New Jerusalem and the millions that they have had walk in and put them into strategic positions in the ground crew. They have been working together since the 40s, with this master plan. And within this group of millions, you are on a need-to-know basis. There are meetings happening everywhere behind closed doors. They are getting on ships with these world leaders and meeting in undisclosed locations, and they're working out these details. They're coming to a consensus about how they're going to tell the world about ET. And what you're seeing about supposed meetings on a calendar going to happen in the future isn't necessarily so. These are made-up stories. These dark ones own the airwaves. They own the papers. They own the internet. There's very, very few telling anything that's the truth. What's to realize is that the ones who are doing the work don't even reveal everything to the ones in their group. They only get the information they need. Everything is kept secret so that the plan will not fail, so that all the fail safes are in place, so that we will come to the end with the completion of love. It's time to stop focusing on the intricacies of what one little tidbit that they showed us in the news of what's true and what isn't true. If you don't get off your computers and go inside in meditation and focus on love for yourself, we won't be able to get to the fifth dimension. We have to pull out of the fourth dimension and go into the fifth. It's time to spend less time on the news and focus more of your energy on what it means to be Moabite, what it means to bring your energy in with the energy of Mother, and what it means to be balanced within yourself.
Yes.
Yes, because Mother, isn't it true that class is now in session and Ashtar, what do you call that place in San Francisco? The Academy?
Starfleet Academy.
Starfleet Academy. As you want to work with Mother, you got to go through your training, right? We all do.
Yes.
That. And does that mean that Captain Ashtar has some more training through Rama going on at the same time?
Yes.
Isn't he the next generation that is supposed to be leading all of us?
We could say yes, he is in line.
What do you mean he's in line? He's number one.
Yes?
What do you mean he's in line? He's been doing number one, hasn't he?
Of course.
In other words, he changed his job in the late little times because he used to just be a quote-unquote navigator on the bridge. Now he's actually taking direct orders from his father as number one. Is that right?
We would concur, Commander.
In other words, he's sitting in the second chair at the right hand of his father.
Yes.
Ooh, my hurly, furly, furly.
The truth is that we are all under the Galactic Federation, which is commanded by the Captain Ashtar. We all are able to go to our training. We all get as much training as we ask for. You can't ask for training if you're sitting at the computer. You have to get off the computer. You have to go outside in nature. That's what the Kumaras are about. You have to connect with the elemental kingdoms, the plant kingdoms, the birds in the sky, and the clouds in the sky, and the four directions, and talk to your guides and ask for more training. Everyone can get more training from Ashtar.
Okay, then, Mother, I have a question. When, or is there I know you don't ask the question when yet. How does Ashtar transfer his captainship to Rama? I know that is supposed to happen. Once he's number one, that would be where he would lead, you might say, the classes, right, in Starfleet Academy, with his father's whispers in his ears, right?
You could say that.
So he will be able to take the captain role once he has worked successfully with all of us to get us, you know, guided and trained collectively. at Starfleet Academy, which is right here in this virtual community right here, right now.
What is occurring is you are being downloaded with everything you need by your junk DNA right now. And as things are happening...
And we are talking to our junk DNA and how we want that to happen and change, right?
The photon belt making that happen.
Well, nothing just is made to happen. We have to open up our hearts, and we have to learn what it means to how to receive this energy and how to use it. Isn't that what Starfleet Commander is about? Starfleet Academy is about?
Yes. It is about the exploration of new possibilities, new worlds that have not yet been touched. And the idea, it is not only in the outer, it is in the inner, what is in here.
Newer worlds of experience by using higher energies inside the visionary portal, which is the third eye, which is where we receive from the pineal gland.
Third eye is the stargate through which you go.
And so in Mother's, where's Mother's third eye? Isn't it over Palenque? Because that dove, the eye of the dove.
That is Athena.
Yeah,
yes.
It's right over Palenque. And that was where the prince Ashtar, Popovoltan, was the captain on the ground at the time.
Yes.
And now that energy of Palenque was married to Hopi land on the second mesa.
Yes.
The Hopi people are the ancient Mayans of the southwest from that mesa, and their elders are the Anasazi.
Anasazi.
And the Anasazi are the light path that counters the Anunnaki.
Yes. It has to do with the stories that have been hidden from your people in the ancient mystery schools and the legends and all the different myths that have been erased and said, oh, don't read that Black's Law Dictionary. That is ancient law. Don't read statutory law. That is what you got to deal with, slave.
I would like to add something also to this answer.
Yes, Archangel Michael.
As Rama is moving up to his next role, this is true for every single person here.
Yeah.
Each one of you works on the ships. Each one of you works in a role. And as you work together with Earth's Ascension, you take on new roles. And as the announcements come, you rewrite your contracts. And as you've been handling your tests, as you've been handling your new assignments, your challenges, and how you've been interacting with these things is according to what your next assignment will be. And this is true for Rama. This is true for everyone. In fact, it would be interesting to hear from Mother what will be Ashtar's next assignment, what will be Sananda Kumara's next assignment. Everybody will move up as Earth Ascension moves up.
That's right, and we all move around on the board. That's why we don't ever stay in. We're everywhere and nowhere at all, right, Mother?
You could say that the captain and the admiral would be, in a sense, in the classrooms, and you may all be on the, shall we say, front lines on the bridge out there in space.
Well, you mean we go, every week we go to the classroom first and then we do a mission together.
Yes.
On the bridge. We take the bridge and, in other words, Rama gets to, you might say, play role, Ashtar?
In a sense, you step onto the holodeck and holodeck begins simulation and he takes on all the roles as if you were in that position. You make those decisions as though they are real.
And they're being made on the ground.
Yes.
And that means we're in two places at once and nowhere at all. We're on the bridge of the New Jerusalem in our new greater responsibilities. As we move up and as they move up, we take over the responsibilities that they've been holding for us while we are made ready to move up and as we do what we ask to do.
Yes, and at the same time, be compassionate with self, because it is a quantum leap to go from being a human to a galactic being.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there is a, what is the movie, Lost in Translation, where 3D got to catch up with 5D, and you are dizzy, and you are feeling like you want to hug that porcelain goddess.
Is that because we've had so much latent potential unused? And what they say is that, you know, as you choose to bypass using that potential, then what ends up happening is you get leaky guts and you start losing that potential.
Got it. Go
in the body.
Go slowly, do few things, do them well, and listen to simple joys that are holy.
And make sure that you do that in every way so that you can honor the body when the body needs something. As we say, listening is different than actually hearing.
And we understand that, yes, we said that your bodies may need only 2 hours of sleep, yet sometimes the bodies need a little more.
And that has to do with, as we are now being told, the acceleration pace of reaching 0 point as a collective on the planet.
Yes.
Has sped up 3 times faster.
It has, and to catch up with it, it is imperative you drink lots of water to handle the energies.
So no matter how much water we're drinking now, at least double it.
We are just saying continue with what you are doing. Don't overwhelm self.
And unless you're doing not enough water, and make sure to check with your body. And sometimes we operate on automatic without it to the point that we lose contact with what's going on by not having enough. So in other words, take your time, go slowly, and pay more attention to your vehicle. It's the only thing you have besides your understanding. In other words, when we learn something about keeping the vehicle abreast of these acceleration frequencies, as is, and I know when you do readings like this, I'm going to start making more water available and filling it up and making sure you drink at least 2 of these when you're here with us. And we do.
Yes, there is some.
Oh, there's somebody else. Okay.
One of the things folks can do now is turn off the television a half hour earlier, go to bed, wake up a half hour earlier, take a walk outside in the sunlight, let the sunlight hit your third eye before you leave in the morning.
That will change reality, yes, indeed.
So let's get up at sundown and let's go for a ride to the forest and go for a walk and watch the sun come up.
Yeah.
In the morning, first thing.
Don't have enough gas.
Oh, gas.
Okay, there's a suggestion that we might want to finish up and share some of the capitalism, a love story. Do you have some final thoughts, either one of you, before we do that?
We would say in these moments of what you were witnessing, this final time here now, understand it is at a fever pitch with the NFTs, and they want very badly to win. And they have already lost. It is over. And gotta pick up the pieces and go home, as the song says. And it is about a new reality has already begun, called Satyuga. And that already making itself manifest in this reality. And as you line up with what you call that dark rift in space, you call it our Yanni, we would only just say it is the understanding in where in which these ones are wayward children set. We would complete this at this time, begin a new story, as the Mayan calendar has said, not the end, just the beginning of such a magnificent Satyuga of peace. And that idea of Namaste, I honor the diamond jewel lotus within you, the sutras.
As you are aligned with the diamond sutras in you, and I am aligned with the diamond sutras in me, we are one.
Correct.
That means that's when we really have the responsibility, along with our own actions, lifting ourselves up into our own diamond sutras.
That is
and
happening.
And then we do the work.
It is happening right now. And we have to say we love you even more. Inshallah. Namaste.
Kadosh. Kadosh. Namaste, Archangel Michael. Do you have more to say?
Do you have something more to say, Beth, before we close out this portion?
Archangel Michael, not Beth. Archangel Michael.
It's time now for us all to remember ourselves and to remember that we are one people and move forward with loving more as we bring this reality into the fifth dimension on the etheric. Peace. Namaste.
Namaste.
Peace and love. The most radiant one. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Adonai Tzavayot. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Adonai Tzavayot. Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu. Yod He, Vod He, Yahvah. Adonai Vasu Baragas. I pass the talking stick.
Let's have a song.
We have callers whenever you're ready for that.
Just 1 minute. Thank you.
Who has heard all mankind just to save us away.
Thank you, everybody.
Rama is back, and he's up there. It's going to take a minute to set this thing up, though.
Oh, thank you. That's okay. Marita, do we have callers, did you say?
Marita Roberts.
Yes, there are two people. I believe we have Big Will and Alea.
Ahalya.
Ahalya? Mm-hmm.
I think Big Will was done already.
Well,
no Big Will.
He came back again after Alan, but I don't know if he's still there or not.
Well, we did call him on after Alan, and he already spoke.
Okay.
Ahalya from line B1.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Ahalya, how are you?
Hi, Beth, is this you or is this Archangel Michael?
This is me. I've had a big glass of water.
Oh, okay. I wanted to speak with him, but anyway, I will speak to him through you.
Sorry.
I wanted to just say thank you so, so much, Beth, for the messages that you brought forth today. They were of critical importance to me because my own inner guidance has been telling me that, you know, it's time to really make the move. You know, I mean, the calls have been wonderful in the past. A lot of information has come through. But my guidance told me, you already know this. This is, you know, just like what Michael was saying, is that we are already these gods and goddesses that volunteered to come here and participate in this. And many of us, we're moving at different levels and different speeds, and many of us have, we're right at the door.
Yeah.
I was listening to Cynthia's call this past Wednesday, and she made a statement that was just another confirmation to what was said today, and it was basically to as we move forward, because the magic is right there. The power is right there before us. All we have to do is we have to put forth the energy and the effort, as she said, to put in maximum efficiency and minimum effort. So what that means and translates to me is exactly what you were saying today through or what Michael was saying today through you. And I just want you to know that I don't listen to the calls as much because some of it is stuff that's just repeated. I'm hearing it through other, you know, other sources and stuff. My guidance told me that it's time for you, because the ascension is only going to take place as we work on ourselves individually. Yes, that becomes the collective consciousness that causes us to ascend. But it does not limit us from ascending, you know, individually and to focus in on that. So, you know, today was a very powerful, confirming day for me through the messages that you brought forth. And I just wanted to tell you I am extremely grateful, and that's all.
I appreciate the comment so much, Ahalya, and I'd like to share a story, please.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I got off the call around 10:30, and I went into meditation. And Archangel Michael, I spoke with Ashtar and then Archangel Michael, and he kept me up until 2 a.m. talking to me, and he was saying he wanted to bring a message, and he wanted, I've never channeled him before. I've been talking to him telepathically since I can remember, and he said, I can use your voice. It will be easy. You can do it, and I need to bring this message today, and he had me channeling him this morning so I would have confidence, and he spoke. I took a walk outside, and I was in the garden, too, and he spoke out loud so I could get the feeling for it of having his energy in me. And he was talking to me, and these were the things that he was saying to me, what you just said. He said, well, first of all, just my personal comment is that we have new people joining every week. And we have to have compassion for them. They haven't heard the stories before. But what Michael was saying is what you're saying, Ahalya, what Cynthia is saying and others are saying, it's time now. We're there. Now, last week I got several emails because people said, Beth, I just heard the recording of the Sunday call and you didn't sound good at all. And I'm just sending an email. I hope you're okay. And what happened last Saturday night was one of my things that I have to deal with is that I'm aware of what's going on, and I'm able to grok that something more is happening than what they're telling us, but I don't have all the details, and I get frustrated sometimes. And last Saturday night, I was, you know, each one of us have to continually clear and cleanse that pain body, what Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body. We have mm-hmm. to shrink the ego. We have to continuously mm-hmm. work on ourselves. And I have that. I have those issues as well. And my big problem last Saturday was I felt stuck. I thought, I know that we're here, so why aren't we hearing that we're here? And I spent the entire week working on that and thinking about that. And the truth is, and why Michael felt inspired, and he was telling me last night, for a long time, he said, we have to refocus our attention on love and mm-hmm. talking about all these little stories that are the old story that's been happening for 26,000 years isn't as fruitful anymore. We have to start talking about what we're moving into.
Exactly, and you're absolutely right. You know, and it was not just these calls. I was on the Moore's calls every Sunday, you know, for a long time, and many other calls. And my guidance told me to stop. You know, listen when you're guided to tune in. But you know all of this already, and you need to work on moving into the space that is right in front of you. And you won't be able to do that if you're, you know, constantly doing research and listening and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying this is right for everybody because each person is in their own different state. But this totally confirmed the information that was coming through my guidance this week. It's like, do the work for you. You know, it's like, you know, this has been a long time. I've been initiated in many, many different paths. I've been living in meditation centers. I've studied with masters all over the world, and they've all been wonderful. But there comes a time and a place, and that time and place is now when, you know, you have the role as a student sometime. You have the role as a teacher. I've taught a tremendous amount. I've been the student, right. And I chose to be the student over the last couple of years. Now it's time for me to step into the mastery of who I am, along with my brothers and sisters who too have chosen that. And I do, you know, look at you as being one of those people. And I thank you for your humility, Beth. I thank you for your knowledge. I thank you for being here with me at this time, you know, to listen to you. I'm so grateful. I really am very grateful to you. And I just wanted you to know that because, you know, I don't think we could tell you that enough. So, I'm going to get off my soapbox, but, you know, you brought a lot of joy to me today through yourself and through Michael the Archangel, and I will be thanking him also later on. So I will say namaste.
Goddess and Commanders, I thank you. Namaste.
Lady Master Beth.
Yes, hi.
I was going to say Lady Master Ahalia when she talked about the individual ascension process. It's an absolute necessity because we can talk all we want till we're blue in the face about doing something together. And as those who hopefully were thinking that they were part of this haven't done that part, haven't really done the individual preparation for their role. In other words, haven't ascended yet in their own work, inner work. We've got some missing cares. And it's got to be collective, and that's what we mean by whoever is number one, whoever was just the one rung under that, that number one position isn't held by any one person. It's held by the representation of all those persons anywhere on earth who came in here this time to fulfill that particular ascension role while everyone else was working on it to prepare to move up wherever they chose. And that goes back again to the 17 actually full exact templates all over the earth of ourselves. And that means wherever else that is, our assignment is,
connected with all those different locations where those parts and those representations are part of your collective individual ascension template with everyone else. So there are pods within pods within pods within pods, and they all are lining up and mirroring all the way up with no deviation, all the way up. And that one final moment, wherever we have been, the whole thing graduates again and again and again and again until we're graduating every 20 days in doing this ushering of this mission, starting in the second month of February in 2011. How's them apples?
It's all right, and I want to share something to your comment.
Okay.
First of all, I want to tell the ones who are doing the work that I notice you, and how do I see you? When I do my blog and I check the blog entries that have been made, you know, I notice that they're not the news that I want to bring on the center blog. I want to make points about certain news stories, and I want to show a thread of what's going on with the changes that we're all looking for, because we do need to look at the news and talk about the news as we go forward in our action politics. How else do I notice you? I notice you because you send me an email and ask how to get involved in the DVD project. I notice you because I'm not putting your blog up. You go out to the forum and you put up the latest channelings that I haven't had a chance to look through because I don't have time, and I do look at them because I make sure that there's nothing that's not Faction 3 on those channelings out on that forum. But you bring me the good stuff, and you put it out there, and you share it with each other, and you talk about things. And then when I do a blog in the center blog and it's the news, then you comment and you bring other news stories, and you comment underneath with other news stories, and you keep talking to each other about those issues. That's how I notice you. How else do I notice you? There's certain individuals who have given week after week after week since this crisis started in my life of hundreds of dollars because they were guided to. And there's one or two individuals. And I think about you folks every single day. You kept me in this chair working. You kept me from losing my mind. And, you know, it's not for me to come on the calls and say, you know, that my phones were shut down, my bank accounts were closed, and I had threats, and I've had my protection dialed up, and I've had challenges. And it's true when I say I am risking my life putting that news out and coming on the radio every day, because there are ones that still believe they're in power that wish that I wasn't broadcasting to 140 nations, to thousands of people, and getting 10,000 hits a day. And I'm out there with my face and my real name, and I do have issues that I have to deal with and I have to put aside and do the work. And so don't worry if one day, you know, I sounded a little bit down, because I'm dealing with the human condition and it's just normal. But I want to say to all of you who are struggling with money, it's just an illusion, and we will get through this. And these are the final tests, and I do know what you're going through, and I honor you. I honor each one of you that I see out there doing the work. I thank you. And I thank you for your support for all of us in keeping this going, because where we're headed is linking all of us together with the information about the Aboriginal Moabite Nation and about the new way to do things in our society to bring peace to this world. And I'm very grateful for all of you who are doing the work. I can also see the ones who aren't doing the work. And I challenge you today to go higher. You know, email me, ask me how you can help, ask me what more you can do. Start showing out in the world that you're awake and aware, and that you want to give more of yourself. So thank you all for your contributions in this family. I appreciate each and every one of you. I notice you and I think about you every single day. And thank you for all the ones who have helped me. It's been quite the challenge. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I have the food that's in the house, and I have $12 to my name. And now that I don't have a bank account, if you donate to Stargate Merida, it takes 3 or 4 days to get to her bank, and then it has to be mailed to me because I can't give out my contact information. So it's at least a week out, anything that comes in. And this is a spiritual test for me to give up that I have control over anything to do with money, even in providing for my family, because right now I don't. And that's okay, because I've gotten through a lot worse than this and always came out of it okay. So last week when I was so down in the dumps, I was just working out those things. And so any of you who are dealing with any challenges in your life, health challenges, relationship challenges, money challenges, I feel you. And we're all going to get through this with love. I passed the talking stick.
Lady Master, we kind of missed what you said because we've been working together to get this movie queued up. I'm not sure it's going to work. He's having trouble.
I understand. That's okay. It's not as if we can't talk for 2 more hours or another hour.
Oh, well, no, that's true. Rama, what? Everybody's here waiting in bated breath.
Okay, I just need to say I didn't try it until this moment, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get it to play. And
do you think you'll be able to?
It should be just real easy, and I'm not sure why it's not functioning in the right way, because it
could have been misdone or something from where it came.
I'm not sure. It was got at Blockbuster and...
No. They did something to use it and make that movie go on it. Oh,
yeah.
Is it the Blockbuster movie itself?
I think, and it might have been previously owned, yet there's something not exactly correct with...
Okay, well, we should have checked that long before now.
Yeah, yes, and I am very sorry that I created a problem here by not testing it before.
There's no problem.
Rama, we're absolutely fine. Whatever is meant to be will be. And if you want, tell us what you want now. Tara and I can continue to talk if you want to work on that, or we can even scrap that idea. If, you know, whatever works is fine.
I just wanted to... Okay.
So what do you want to do? Do you kind of keep trying now, or do you want to wait and do this another time? Maybe the next time would be better.
Yeah, way I'm not stressed out and impatient and not working on a moment where...
And then the next time you'll do it ahead of time.
That's
And we prefer to have you with us anyways instead of struggling with that.
Yes, and I wish to say I am sorry to you, Tara, that I do
not. No, it's not me. It's not me. It's in behalf of everyone that we tighten our ship.
Okay.
You know, and make sure that the thing works, you know, even though you got it from the official place and paid the official price.
Yes.
We have a caller, guys. Rama, thank you for everything.
Thank you. Yes, Allie.
Hello?
Lita?
Yes.
Hi, greetings.
Hi, I'm so much in love with all of you. I want to express my gratitude. The Welcome to Light website and Mark Huber and all of you, with all of your news and all of your calls, that even though I'm living on credit and don't have anything to my name to send you, I'm sending you my love and my gratitude and the appreciation of all that I've learned from what you've shared. And it's incredible that we are making this shift whenever there's too much domination in the wrong direction, that there's always provided this way to migrate to our freedom, and that you've provided that way with the freedom papers and the opportunity to declare and join with the Ouachita Nation. My question for you now is what I had learned a while back when I tried to, I actually completed doing a quiet title on myself that wasn't near as thorough as these freedom papers are. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if the quiet title is enough, or I need to do this freedom papers all over again just because they are so thorough.
First, Alita, I want to say thank you. I feel your love, and it is so much appreciated. And I would like to defer to what I believe Grand Goddess Lily would say with my discussions that I've had with her. I believe, I know she would say, file those freedom papers.
I'm going to go ahead with that. And another thing I've learned, and I'm asking whether you feel there's any usefulness in this idea, and that is we have been in such a state of reservation of our good and not opening up to receive that we've learned to use the law language of I'm reserving all my rights. And is it time now that we use the language that I don't save them for a rainy day, I claim them now? And maybe for the papers, I have to use the UCC law language. But in addition, in a personal note, I am claiming all my rights now from now on. And in the claiming of them instead of the reserving of them, that empowerment and confidence helps me align with that higher true self that already is, that mastery.
I think that's absolutely right. I agree with that. These steps, as you know, filing the freedom papers, filing the UCC, have to do with taking the three-dimensional steps to tell three dimension that you that you're taking back your rights. That's an excellent observation, and I want to make a comment. You mentioned Mark, and there's I received an excellent email this morning about us talking about 15. And Alan had called back and asked Mother about that again today. And what was in the email was what was in the archives on Mark Huber's website, grt-intel.com. He had spoken in detail about this one in the archives, and that was brought back to me. And I'm not sure if there's anyone out there. It may be close, but there may not be anyone out there who misses him more than I do. And what I want to come out and say is two things. I was forbidden to speak on that topic, and I want to share with you today the reason I was forbidden was because it would put me at risk. And I was forbidden so it would protect me. And the other thing I want to share is I have an eyewitness account of a visit with him, and he is fine, and he's doing what he needs to do. And I want to share that with everybody who misses him as much as I do, and that's all I can say.
That's great. I so much appreciate that. And so many of the reports that came through you all, just gave me so much hope and helping me to have the patience that these changes take, and that patience with gratitude that all is in divine order, and that the inner God inspiration and alignment with the all that is, the law of one, the radiant all, is helping to encourage us to make it through these rough times. And thank Mother Sekhmet also for her wonderful protection and guidance.
Thank you, Edmita. I appreciate it very much.
I pass the talking stick.
Thank you. Alan, are you back?
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, Beth, there's the synchronicity again, and I just heard your comments, and I thought about it too, about what you were talking about, the archives. And it was the fact that Mother mentioned it, and these times are a whole lot different than even a year ago, even a month ago. I mean, day by day, moment to moment, things are morphing pretty fast, and I did consider those things too. It's just that, I'm not a perfect person myself, and I just really didn't give a flying damn for a long time, come what may. And but the protection has been there. I don't take it for granted, and I try my best to be as discerning as possible. But, the two channelings that came in today, and excellent. And, it was so critical what's presented. And because we're creating a new timeline now and reversing an old one, even more so this thing about waiting for the goodies, look, we're creating it moment to moment, and like Tara, Rama, and you are all articulating, it's an active part, and every thought, action, deed, and intention is contributing to the reality that's forming as we speak moment to moment. So people who are waiting, they're literally in a cul-de-sac or a dead end, waiting for goodies. Okay, now, we are who we're waiting for, like you're all saying. And we are creating a new timeline now, everything that's happening. So, this thing about, they can see the future, so they should be able to know or to say when what's going to happen. Hey, wait a minute. If we're creating a new timeline and reversing an old one, we are the ones. We are the creators. So, like you were saying, it's not a matter of events and schedules on the calendar. It's we're making it, we're creating it as we speak. And like you folks are all trying to explain to people, and I have to keep reminding myself too, we are creating right now. We are forming that new timeline. And what an excellent, excellent day this is, and I thank you again.
Thank you so much, Ellen. I want to say that I knew about Ashtar and Arcturus and the ships and my angelic friends, and I was telepathic with them and spoke to them every minute of the day that I wasn't speaking to someone else. And then I met Tara and Rama, and I heard about Nisara, and I went, wow, that's cool. I had no idea about Nisara.
I never
cared about money. And I went, oh, that's kind of a bonus. And then,
it's the only thing that can really bring me back from 18,000 feet under. Hey, case
okay,
it up.
So I want to say I had the same reaction as everyone else the first time I heard about it. But then, as I went along, it got to be where I really don't care a thing. I went back to not caring a thing about any about that, in the sense that the only thing I have on my mind are those children that were on the street last night huddled together because they don't have a blanket and they don't have a mother and they didn't eat dinner last night before they fell asleep in the dirt on the street. I can't stop thinking about them, and they are the reason that I'm not upset about my circumstances. Every time I eat, I think about them.
You're just and like me, you know. However much in the dumpies I get, I mean, you know, hey, you know, the gratitude is limitless because, you know, there's always people that are. And, you know, Beth, you know, you've got a wonderful heart, and, you know, the neutrality thing, you know, it's not like you're throwing away your heart or you don't care, but, you know, it's the balance thing. And, you know, whatever way you play, you're a wonderful person in my book. So thank you for the time. Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste.
Bye.
Thank you, Alan.
I think I said a mouthful, eh?
Yeah.
You did.
And you know what Grand Goddess Lily said this morning? As we work together and share our own personal healings, even if we've been, you might say, impish along the way with the whole family, those are things for the whole family to know how to balance those things together inside themselves by doing their personal homework all the time. And remembering that when we are going through coming together in a galactic round table conversation, it would be natural for all of the buttons that we forgot to push ourselves through. You know, Barack Obama said, push me. And the way we can push him is by pushing ourselves first. And go push on all those buttons that, you know, attempt to take over again instead of that higher love, that higher will, that divine. And remember, all through the summer, all the way to next December, we're going to have Neptune. Is that right? Uranus and Neptune, that's right, retrograde together, which means, again, retrograde, Richard said, it means remember. Now we're talking about remembering the membership we've always been in, just exactly like our sister said earlier.
Uranus and which other one?
Uranus and Neptune.
That's a combination right there.
Yes, because Venus, married to Neptune, brings divine love together with our human experience of loving.
So let me slip in a question here for a second.
Okay.
Rama, was it Neptune you were thinking about with the giant amethyst crystal?
No, I was on Sirius.
Uh-huh.
Sirius A. There's giant amethyst crystal buildings that are purple, and they're about 23 stories tall.
Oh, heavenly, solid amethyst?
Yes.
They're made out of solid amethyst crystal?
Yeah.
And you can walk up the stairs, or you can go up a moving conveyor belt, and it's like something out of Alice in Wonderland, and it's totally love. That's what you feel, the radiant love.
Thank God Barack Obama continues to return to that place and get rejuvenated to come back to this place.
I knew I hadn't hit it yet. I could feel it, that I wanted to ask you that question. And the sky in Sirius is more purple than it is blue.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty cool.
So what does that mean about our
sky? Like, Rama?
Yes.
How is Sirius B different?
The atmosphere, these are two suns, and there are 12 to 14 planets that circle each of these suns. And the planet that I experienced walking up this 23-story building that was made of pure amethyst was on the fourth planet circling the sun, Sirius A.
Okay.
And
are there not right now 13 planets around this sun, and the 14th one is an asteroid belt at the moment?
It's farther out than...
What's farther out?
Well, there's a few million miles between Pluto and the asteroid belt. There's enough of a gap.
Okay, it's still... I thought the asteroid belt was between Mars and Jupiter.
Yes.
Not out there beyond Pluto.
Yes.
So I'm saying that in position... Before it became the asteroid the asteroid belt, it was the fifth planet from the sun, right? Because we got Mercury, one. And again, that's interesting. Isn't that interesting, Beth?
Mm-hmm. I'm all about Mercury.
Your twin flame is Mercury, and in this case, it's number one. And the number one
for me.
Well, no, I mean in the sense that you represent a whole bunch of people. You represent the power of mercurial communications, instantaneous communication.
That's true.
And of course, you deliver the message perfect. And then when that message comes through you, you recalibrate yourself to the message because you understand as the black mother of that consortium of yourself with mercurial energy, you must go first. And that means you must, when you bring the energy through, you must live it and not go backwards.
No.
And not forget that higher rung of purpose that the message is bringing, and go before all of us and show that way. That ought to keep anything that's going on in the personality ego of one who is seven without the circumstances that were when one was seven in a school of the right eye of Horus in Egypt back with you.
This just happened last week. I had a thought that I needed to deliver a message, and by the time I got done thinking the thought, the message was delivered, and it made a difference. It changed things, and I kind of stood there in awe of how fast everything happened, and that what you just said is the truth. I have to go first, and I have to bring the message, and I'm never shy about it.
And when you go through stuff that maybe some shenanigan part of your mischievous self played out in terms of the personality ego, this is good because it also brings it back, because now you came and brought it back and said, this is what was happening. I got this instantaneous confirmation that the message was right there the minute I was ready for it. And then I didn't know how ready that was going to prepare me to be for what came and sucked you into the position, you know, from resistance levels. And you went, is that what that message was about? Did you think that was what I was supposed to experience? And of course, that's true, because your higher self always says, here's where you can clear up stuff that seems to be difficult when you're going so fast. And then you get back here and you go, oh my God, nobody got the message and I got to do this.
Well,
wizard.
Because I have to go first, what happens is I get the idea, and by the time I execute the idea, it happens so fast it stuns me, and I sit there and I go, did I just do that? And everybody else is laughing because they understand my role.
Well, it's good that you don't stop to think about it.
Right.
I don't have the ability to stop to think about it. That's the issue.
Well, that's probably how it was planned, or else you might not always move.
Howard Zinn said, you cannot be neutral on a moving train.
I do know that I made a difference. That I know.
I know you know that I know that's true, too.
I love you. When you go first and you get out there and you say what needs saying and people think about it for a second, it changes things. And each one of us can do this in our lives.
What is that story or that fable or something where it says, I say what I mean and I mean what I say? Where is that? That was in some theater or something.
That's from The Stooges.
Is it really? I'm sure they took it from something else. They did.
Very Turley and Moe.
No, they were comic geniuses. Popeye.
Thank you for the assist there.
Yes, sir.
It's glad that we have awake and aware technicians here.
Oh, I forgot about that Popeye movie with Robin Williams. He was the best.
Oh, that's right, Popeye. Thank you.
And what was that lady's name? She's so good. Annie something.
Annie?
You know, olive oil.
Yes, olive oil.
Annie's olive oil?
No, I mean, what was her name in real life?
Oh, olive oil and Popeye. Oh, right.
She sang a song with Elton John, I think.
Elton John.
I forgot her name, dear.
I wouldn't mind playing Candles in the Rain. You know, the reason that that song was made was writing about, you know, Lady Di, and he knew that Lady Di wasn't dead. I'm just going to say that. He knew that. And he was knighted by the Queen, and that means when he was singing like that, the Queen of England, you know, they are always...
He was kind of getting in her face a little.
A little?
Shelley Duvall! You're a genius.
He might have Google in front of him.
Yeah, might.
Well, let's just give him credit. Oh, Wikipedia. About that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Shelley Duvall did a lot of good things.
Yes, Shelley Duvall is one of the whistleblowers.
Yes, no mistake that she got to be in that movie with Rob.
Wealthy visionary helping children.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. She's done several movies for children.
That olive oil, I could dream about her every night. I would watch something during the day.
And Elton John is another one.
Yes. You know,
he set up, you know, these health centers for people who have AIDS. I mean, he spent millions of dollars on it. And one of the places he did it was one of the hardest struck areas in our country, and that's Atlanta, Georgia. He was one of the first. And he didn't sink in a few dollars. He sunk in millions. And he hasn't only done it in Atlanta. He has other centers around the world. And then he went to see this orphanage, and he met this boy in this orphanage, and he said he would really like to bring him home. And then they started talking about his orientation, and I thought that was so sad. He's one of the greatest humanitarians we have on our planet. How would you, you know, how could you even question, you know?
And he is a member of the 13 families, everyone. And I'll just say that today's Magdalene went to see him in Germany. And I just want you to know also that you don't want to know how many times they programmed him. And you don't know how many times he was tortured and molested when he was growing up. And you don't know how many times they kept programming him to be gay. This is really the part we're going to have to really understand, too. And when we all heal, it's not about sex anymore. It never was. Because when we merge in the higher dimensions, we merge from the heart chakra up. And we merely plug it in. That's all we do is plug it in. And we and we send the vibrations of love for a new creation from the heart chakra up. And that is something you learn by working with the energies and then making love. And as you don't seem to see a physical body in it of your making love partner, your twin flame, your partner is in the etheric, and you can have ecstatic making love encounters.
Yes.
At that level.
Yes.
This might be inspiring everyone instead of this thing which has been, you know, sex for the sake of.
Redboy.com?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is still coming up where we have to feel this for our brothers and sisters who are supposedly elected leaders that are full of virtue and goodness, and they're doing stuff like this. And
well, as we learn to be orgasmic in our hearts, it changes things.
And
that's right.
Another one that exemplifies this stuff is McCain. McCain has been completely twisted, completely programmed, and done through torture. You don't think they just he got caught by the dark side? He did get caught by the dark side, but the one he got caught by was his handler, Henry Kissinger, formerly known as Henry VIII at the time, as Sir Francis Bacon's grandfather. I'm just saying that all the players are back, and they're here, and we couldn't be more on target. And remember, didn't Henry Kissinger be deprived his freedom in the sense that he had his bags of cash and two huge suitcases, and the airlines wouldn't let him out of the country, private or public?
Mm-hmm.
So we are arresting what began as Elizabeth I's parents were intending for Elizabeth I to represent. And we are arresting that downward spiral for 400 years of time, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before that, even, because it is 520 years of misrepresented and missing time that the Vatican Black Pope is the Jesuit general to see to it those 520 years do not come into play. And that's the 520 years of Pythagoras all the way to Sananda. And my goodness, now that comes back to
Rama.
Yeah.
Yesterday you were saying that you had Stephen Greer. You also told me you had some other UFOlogy type of stuff.
I have a video from the X conference called The Day Before Disclosure.
Can we play that now, Rama?
Okay.
How long?
Michael, listen for a second, Tara. Michael had me up until 2 in the morning talking with me. Then he had me back up at 6 in the morning channeling him for 2 hours, and he is tapping me now, and he's saying we have to shift our conversations into bringing more information about good stuff. So maybe we should take some time and listen to some of that conference now.
Yes.
Did you say it's 122 minutes in the whole of it, hey?
Yeah.
So we'll just get a taste.
Yeah.
But that will be good to finish our Sunday that way before we go into our new week.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, I hope we can get it in the heart now that LGN is what we make it. And feeling that energy is feeling it at one with everything that we are. In other words, we don't have to worry about anything except what the mission is with LGM, and that will cause it to cycle. And that will cause it to cycle in your vision. And that means we vision
inviting everybody to Ouachita. And then when they get to Ouachita, they can see how they can spend their time and change their lives by creating the money for it, by actually connecting with others that we can tell about Ouachita. That's the time we pass when we spend time now. And it's not about, oh, I don't like doing anything at all that has anything to do with money. It has to do with the value of money that we bring with us. And the value of money must be changed by us coming into touch with money and using that money to cycle mother energy back into the money system.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you, Rama.
Groundbreaking new developments in physics have redefined Einstein's relativity theory.
According to electromechanics, there is no problem with space travel, and not even with the time travel. Equations and the physical models, concepts and relations for explaining this has been clear for more than 10 years in advanced mechanics.
The theory allows for faster than light travel. Einstein said that anything, you know, from an apple to a spaceship, anything that has mass cannot reach the speed of light. The new equations, the new theories say, yes, if you go out of time, space-time, into the hyperspace, you can travel many times the speed of light and then drop back down into space-time. In my opinion, you know, it may be 100 years before our scientists can prove this, but I think other civilizations figured this out many, many years ago, many hundreds or thousands or millions of years ago, and they probably move around the universe with great ease in ways that we assume is impossible.
What really made the UFO phenomenon known to the public was what happened here in Washington in the summer of 1952, when a series of UFO observations were made during a period of 2 weeks. Objects were traced on radar, flying 1,000 miles per hour, and they suddenly executed a 90-degree turn and other maneuvers that no aircraft could do even today.
Military pilots were launched to chase these objects. They got close enough to them to see they were round balls of light or oval balls of light, but they could not catch them.
To force the Air Force to have a press conference on this. What is going on? And during the press conference, the General Sanford, who was in charge of Air Force intelligence, basically argued that as far as he was concerned, it was all natural phenomenon and there wasn't anything to worry about. So the press, being satisfied with that, publicized, you know, with all weather and temperature inversions and weather phenomena that were causing these sightings, and you could forget all about them. A Navy officer who was working in the intelligence, in Air Force intelligence, told an FBI person that several percent of the sightings could not be explained, and that the top Air Force people, some of them, were seriously considering interplanetary ships as the explanation.
But the pilots Kenneth Arnold had already in 1947 introduced the name flying saucers when he claimed to have come upon a formation of 9 unusual saucer-like objects near Mount Rainier in the state of Washington in June that year. Before this, pilots of World War II bombers had named them Foo Fighters. These smaller disks were frequently seen as rapid lights crossing over German, Japanese, and Allied territories, sometimes right next to the aircraft, following them as if monitoring their operations. During the 50s, these flying saucers were seen almost everywhere, all over the globe.
And I can see that it was a black lenticular form of silhouette with these blinking lights all over the surface. And it was at least twice the size of a 740. It's like two Boeing 747 airliners nose to tail. And it's between me and Indianapolis. So I rolled out, tried to get on its tail and behind it, and it turned about 30-degree angles to the north and headed straight for Chicago, and then went over the red lights like that. And just the north, if they can go that fast.
In 1952, orders were issued to military pilots in the United States. Shoot them down, flying saucers. If they don't land when instructed to do so, they have the newspaper articles proving that. Matter of fact, the head of the American Rocket Society wrote a letter to President Truman saying he didn't think that was a good idea. Not a good way to welcome anybody coming here.
The American jet fighter pilot Milton Torres, stationed at the Manson RAF base in Britain, was on May 20th, 1957, ordered to go after and shoot down a large UFO spotted on radar hovering over Ipswich. This enormous object, the size of an aircraft carrier, disappeared into the sky at the very instant he was to launch his rockets.
I was thinking that if I fired this thing that he may vaporize me. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was not of this earth. It was not a man-made object. This was something that was... they could stop. They could absolutely stand still, and they could go Mach 10 or more at any time. And a human being would be splashed up against the sidewall from the forces of just the momentum forces. That would destroy it. So it was nothing that we humans know anything about.
But many, many pilots in military planes who were ordered to go after and shoot down disks, and they either disappeared or their planes crashed. This is another underbelly of this whole phenomenon. And before he died, Len Stringfield, who was the very first on the planet who had the courage to start publicly reporting that not only were there beautiful lights in the sky that moved in erratic patterns, but they were clearly involved with crash retrieval stories that were coming to him from military people who would not go on the record, that we were retrieving bodies, we were retrieving technology, and Len Stringfield said, Linda, I know firsthand that our government had a standing policy to take these disks down out of the sky until we had lost so many pilots that that order was rescinded around
1953-54. On July 7th, 1947, in Roswell, New Mexico, the place where the U.S. manufactured and stored its newly developed nuclear weapons, a flying saucer is reported to have crashed. The incident is revealed in the local newspaper, but withdrawn the day after. Weather balloons is the official explanation. Today, several military and civil eyewitness testimonials have surfaced concerning both the crash itself and the crash retrieval operations, indicating that it most probably was a vehicle of unknown origin. Apollo astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who was the sixth man to walk on the moon and also grew up as a Roswell resident, has recently gone public with his view on this controversial incident.
I grew up in Roswell, New Mexico, which was the site of presumed alien crash in 1947, and which, from what I call the testimony of the old-timers who were there, and who have been hushed up by government authority, military authority, almost on pain of death at the time, and who had harbored their knowledge quietly for years, as when I came back from the moon, and I was a local boy, they considered me safe enough to tell their story to, that they were a part of the recovery effort and the observer of the so-called Roswell crash, and that they knew for sure that it was an alien craft. And subsequent sightings, subsequent evidence has reaffirmed all of that, that we are being visited and have been visited by alien spacecraft and alien beings. And our governments around the world have covered it up.
In response to this escalating UFO activity and public awareness, in September, 2 months after the alleged Roswell crash, Project Grunge, later named Project Blue Book, was established by the U.S. Air Force as an official investigative body of UFO cases. The project collected civil and military reports and carried out an analysis of them. In 1969, after 22 years, the project was closed, without reaching any official conclusion. And that ended, to this day, the official comments from the U.S. government on the UFO issue. But the UFO sightings didn't end. Going back to 1963, a command sergeant major in the U.S. Army was assigned to the supreme headquarters of Allied powers in Europe in Paris, France, and was given the highest top secret clearance. The story revealed to him there puts the phenomenon into a new perspective.
And when I arrived in the summer of 1963, my clearance was upgraded to cosmic top secret.
Robert
which
Dean.
Was then and still is today the highest level of classification of NATO. And when I arrived in the summer of 63, I learned of a study that was underway that had been initiated in 1961. Apparently, an event had occurred on the morning of 2nd February 1961 that almost triggered World War III. A large number of circular metallic discs flying in formation flew out of the Soviet sector over the Allied sector in the divided Germany, flew off to the west. They turned north over the channel, over the English Channel, over the southern coast of England, and then they turned north and disappeared off of NATO radar over the Norwegian Sea, off the coast of Norway. Well, this incident almost triggered World War III because the Soviets, we found out, thought those objects belonged to us. And for a time, we thought they might belong to the Soviets. We were to find out that they didn't belong to either of us, the Soviets or us, that it was a real story here. And they initiated a study in 61 to determine what in the world is happening here. They concluded after this three-year study that the planet Earth and the human race apparently had been under some kind of survey or observation for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years, by several extraterrestrial advanced intelligences. Now that literally, Terry, blew me out of the water.
This document, called an assessment, an evaluation of possible threat to Allied forces in Europe, was a secret NATO report on UFOs, distributed in 15 copies within the NATO system. Could that indicate that NATO at that time was fully aware of a UFO and ET presence? And incredible stories continued to happen.
The most interesting of those cases occurred in November of 1965. There were UFO reports in New York State, all over New England, of objects being sighted above power lines, over power plants, over power relay stations. I forget the gentleman's name, but one of the FAA regional directors was flying in a private plane to Syracuse, New York, and they saw a large fiery ball pass over power lines at a place called the Clay Power Substation. And as soon as the object was right over the lines, from horizon to horizon, all the lights went out as far as his man could see. And initially he thought that he had gone blind temporarily, you know, something had happened. And then he realized that there was no power. And it became what is known as the Great Northeast Blackout.
The history of UFOs in the United States is just, it's filled with one impossible sighting after another impossible sighting. I mean, the problem with them is that they have great military documentation again and again showing that they actually happened. Or what does one make of the boomerang craft that we're seeing in just north of New York City in the early 1980s in what's called the Hudson Valley? For several years, you have again and again, these enormous objects being seen by thousands of witnesses. They're driving along the highway and they see this object hovering. They get out of their car, their jaws drop open, and this intense bright light shoots down onto the highway like out of a movie. Except this wasn't a movie. This happened many times over a period of, say, 5 years, just north of New York City.
In Great Britain, periods of extensive UFO activity kept the subject warm in the news media. But nothing could compare to what was to unfold in late December 1980.
The Wendlesham Forest incident is Britain's most famous and compelling UFO encounter. The file on the incident was made public a number of years ago under the Freedom of Information Act, and so the case file's in the public domain, but the bottom line is the case has never been explained.
Peter Robbins spent 9 years doing intensive research for his book, giving a first-hand account of the case. His co-author, Larry Warren, was airman at the base at that time and one of the key eyewitnesses to the event.
It occurred between Christmas and New Year's on three consecutive nights, 1980, and it involved overflights above this twin NATO base complex in Suffolk, about 80 miles from London, landings, the shooting down of beams of light into the weapons storage area, which was a nuclear weapons storage area, very much in violation of our treaty with Great Britain at the time. And on the final night of the three nights, there was the biggest incident. In this, my co-author, dozens of other American Air Force personnel were taken and brought out to a field near their sister base, RAF Woodbridge, where they saw the appearance of a machine of undetermined origin.
At that place, an object appeared on the ground in the place of a mist. I saw this happen. A red light moved in, exploded. It caused rapid and high damage to a lot of us peripheral people. A structured object was in its place on the ground. Though you couldn't look directly at it, you'd have to look at it with your peripheral vision to get the shape. Entities were seen. Three. Looking very translucent, not your, what they call gray, and all that sort of thing. It was almost ghost-like. Very much animated, self-animated, though. That whole event was filmed.
And they
They were floating about a foot above the ground in a very bright light. The lower extremities were very hard to see. They were a foot off the ground.
They were about 4 feet tall. They had that same large cranial structure, the giant black sweeping eyes, almost no nose, a hint of a mouth. And they were each dressed in a suit, very tight fitting. And they were slightly translucent, and they were floating. So they got in about 5 feet from the thing. They were right there. And the beings were no further away than like 20 feet or so from Larry. So this was all happening in extremely close proximity, very close up. Larry and other men there observed, besides the dozens of American enlisted Air Force personnel, many of them like Larry with secret clearances because they worked around nuclear weapons. But there were British police officers on location. They were from the nearby village of Woodbridge. And while the American Air Force personnel were filming this with video, and this is 1980, so you could spot a video camera a long ways away. It was very bulky, but also regular film cameras. One of these police officers was taking photographs of this landed machine with a 35-millimeter camera. And from what I understand, the Air Force confiscated this camera from the police officer, which caused a bit of a fight. When these beings appeared, they looked at the human beings, and the human beings looked at them. And no hands were shaken, no things were exchanged. If anybody heard voices in their heads, I don't know about this. And at a certain point, these beings, they did not open a door and walk in, but they disappeared. And the sense was they had gone back in. The machine then lifted up. It was making a slight humming sound, my best description. It angled slightly and it was a star, you know, in a matter of seconds, and it was gone. What happened the next day is almost more upsetting to me. Namely that these men were debriefed
I think they were told a combination of truths and lies to overwhelm them, intimidate them, keep them quiet. And then that night, a number of the individuals, Larry and Adrian Vistinza next to him included, were taken against their wills, subdued chemically, and put through a series of procedures to confuse and upfuse their thinking, and were released a day or so later, right before New Year's.
3 years later, this incredible story had leaked into the media and created a long succession of headlines as more and more information was revealed from different sources, Larry himself being one of the main ones. But no official comments on the UFO incident were given from either the US or the British government. All the unique film and video material, including the pictures taken by the British policemen, were removed from the base by US military, never to be seen again. In 2009, Larry King and CNN shed new light on the case by bringing in new eyewitnesses confirming the story of the first night of the sightings.
I was there on the first night. I went off base to check out a possible aircraft downing. I thought it was an aircraft crash, and I took my team with me. And when we got to the Woods Line off the East Gate, we discovered a craft of unknown origin. It was triangular in shape.
On the ground.
On the ground. He touched it, walked around it, photographed it. We did a full investigation of it on the ground for 45 minutes.
With this exceptional testimony from a U.S. Air Force retired security officer live on CNN, confirming the story of several other eyewitnesses, you might expect it to lead to some kind of official reaction. Does the Reynoldson case actually tell us straight out that there is another reality in the midst of our lives, able to come and go as it pleases? In other countries, UFO observations were made continuously. In Brazil and the huge Amazon area, UFO and ETs were observed almost on a daily basis.
You know, historically, Brazil is one of the major countries as far as UFO sightings and contacts with aliens is concerned. Now, we have all sorts of cases, and they are spread all over the country. Now, some of the most astounding cases in the UFO history happen in Brazil. We're talking about landings. We're talking about face-to-face contact with aliens, which are getting rare for some reason. And we're talking about also sightings with multiple witnesses. Sightings in the middle of the cities, like 2,000 or 3,000 people seeing a UFO.
Behind me here, inside this blue container, is the only stationary, fully automatic, 24-hour UFO observatory on the planet. In Norway, the remote mountain valley Hestdalen became world-famous after almost continuous observations from the early 1980s on. Strange lights moved up and down the mountainsides every night over long periods, just above the treetops. In contrast to many other countries, scientists arrived and established a permanent UFO observatory.
The light from here in Hestdal in Norway started in late 81, well, with a lot of sightings. At the most, it was 20 sightings a week. The local people here started to see the light down in the valley, sometimes close to their houses, and they was wondering, what could this be? And there were some was a little bit afraid too, because no one could be given any answer. What could it be?
This picture is taken with 1/60th of a second exposure.
The phenomena behaves very different. Some is moving very slowly, and some lights can move very fast. The fastest speed we have ever measured was 30,000 kilometers an hour.
But the local residents claim to have seen more than just lights.
Well, so many come up on us, especially Adam. So, what are the book?
Time to say goodbye, eh?
That's the first section of one? Or what did you stop
at? Oh, we stopped it at 23:53.
Did Seth say it's time to go?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Rama, will you save that for us? We all want to hear the rest later.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, Tara, every Sunday there's a show after us. We always have to go on Sunday.
Okay, is it at 4:55 or at 5 o'clock at the top of the hour?
Well, we probably should be wrapping it right now.
Okay, do you want to wrap it with a song?
Okay, yes.
Rama, it's your pick.
Oh, my God. Okay. This is going to be interesting.
See you tomorrow night, everybody, with Cheryl Croce.
Thank you for such a great call, and thank you for being here, everybody. Love you.
Oh, gosh. Yes. And I'll repeat her number quickly. 213 is Rama Looks. 213-289-0500. And the pin code is 946-7441#. And I just heard in my head for some reason that Metatron and Michael will be waiting for us tomorrow night.
There we go.
Thank you, Rama.
Oh, starts at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Peace and love, everybody.
Peace and love. Namah Shivaya.